Blog Talk Radio.
We're here live. Sorry, I ran a little late. I was talking to one of my friends about the house in Bethlehem that I think I was at in a dream. Anyway, I'll talk about that later. Good to be with you tonight. And I was literally just doing that. I should have known better. Thank you for being patient, and thanks for being there. Thanks for being part of PGN. We really appreciate your love for the end times, the love for the gospel, your love for Jesus, and your love for PGN, of course, and what we do here. And it's just so awesome. I literally was on the phone, I mean, on the phone, on text, on phone, with Byron. I texted him earlier today asking him to send me pictures of the place that they have in Jerusalem. And, you know, just trying to see if it was the house I was in my dream, but we don't know. I looked at the pictures. I actually literally looked at 5 minutes ago and, I'm asking him questions about it. He said that, right now that road in front of that area is paved. The road I saw was dirt. So I asked him, when did they pave it? And he says about 2007, 2008, somewhere in there. And that's about when I had the dream. I don't know if it's exactly when I had it. I had it sometime between when the angel came to me and started speaking to me in 2005 about the massive merger coming and all that and connecting me to that realm. When he spoke those words to me, he connected me to a whole different place. I mean, it just was, I just went through a real brokenness. You know, God was so faithful. Keeping me, it was an amazing miracle. And, you know, and then 2005, he showed up in my room and told me there's a massive merger coming in January 11, 2005. Well, from 2005, God just connected me to a whole other dimension of things I'd never been before. And I've seen a lot of things, you know, but nothing like this. You know, world government information, world economic information that I knew absolutely nothing about whatsoever. Totally ignorant, and God chose the right person. He chooses ignorant people concerning those things. I was truly probably one of the most ignorant people as far as those kind of things goes. You could be. I knew how to remodel and paint, construction work, and do a few little things. Other than that, that's about it. So maybe some of you can relate a little bit to it, and. Yeah, Byron's texting me here. All right, he's texting me. He's all excited. I'm excited, too. We're all excited. I think I talked last night. In case you weren't listening to the show last night, I talked a lot about Byron, who Byron is the guy that I've been connected to from my friend. If it hadn't been for my friend, Brian, wouldn't have these connections. God used him. It's all connected to the Red Heifer. Byron is the one who's setting up everything for getting things ready for the temple. He's lived in Jerusalem for, you know, a few years. I don't know exactly how long. Until just recently he moved to Texas. Or he came to his house in Texas. He has a house in Texas. And we'll talk about all that in the future. We'll probably hopefully get him on the show soon. And he can tell you himself, kind of like Brian says. I think I'll just let Byron or whoever tell you himself because he wants to make sure you get it right, right? That's what we want to try to do that. So very, very cool. We're so excited about what's going on. It's unbelievable to me. You know, I want you to y'all hear this for a minute. We're looking at Christmas time, right? Now listen to this. How this is connecting prophetically is that everything we're talking about right now is – basically, of course, the red heifer, but beyond that, we're talking about the dream I had where the two witnesses show up, and long story short, I was in Bethlehem somewhere in a house, you know, at a house somewhere in Bethlehem, because the two witnesses showed up and they said, we've come to see where the king was born, with the most holy, honorable, respectful sounding voice I've ever heard in my life. I mean, I've never heard anybody be that respectful. They were just like almost on their face before they got to the house, you know. And I'm sitting there with the two poles that the angel gave me, you know, and then the dream ends, just kind of like that. And so it's pretty amazing. And so here we're looking at Bethlehem, right? Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. What are we celebrating? Not only Hanukkah, right, but we're celebrating. I'm not real knowledgeable about Hanukkah. I have basic information. I wish we had somebody here that could tell us more about it. But I'm going to give you some general information and how it's amazing, y'all, that we are right here at Christmas. This is Christmas week, basically, you could say. Christmas is, what, next Saturday or Sunday? And so, you know, depending on when everybody celebrates it, but actually the day is on the 25th, which is on Sunday. I have to make sure to look and see. I got so much stuff going on, y'all. This is absolutely crazy. So here we are at Christmas time, and suddenly, you know, as of last week, maybe, no, as of this weekend, this last weekend, that was a couple of days ago, I started sending text to Byron about when I saw that they had a house in, or an apartment that they had there in Jerusalem, right at the outskirts, right looking out, overlooking the fields of Bethlehem. I thought, oh my gosh, it hit me. And I texted him. I said, I told him the dream I had. He'd never heard the dream about the two witnesses. I said, brother, they were, you know, God gave me those two, you know, banner flags, banners with poles with little flags on them. And I was there to greet them. They were actually, you know, walking toward me in the dream, and the one that I still don't know who it is, riding the horse, said to me, we have come to see where the king was born. Now, that was Bethlehem. So this week, y'all, just in the last few days, I've been getting some amazing information about Herod and how we're going to see the spirit of Herod come in the midst of all these things getting ready to come to pass, as in the days of Jesus. We're going to talk about this, you know, today's Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. I'm trying to get all prepared and ready because I want to make sure I'm informed correctly. That we're here, you know, because what happened when the wise men, you know, came in town, they eventually went to Herod, and Herod, they asked Herod, you know, where's the king at? Well, he is the king. And the kind of king that he was, you know, when he found out that it was time for the Messiah to come, and he had them look up the scriptures in Micah and find out, you know, that truly the time is now, or truly, you know, where he's going to be born at. Herod believed it. Herod actually believed when the wise men came, and I guess I could tell by the innocence of on their faces and in their hearts that Herod could tell that they had seen something from God and it was unusual, and he believed them. He believed them. So he said, well, let me know when you find him. You know, and so the wise men, as we all know the story, the wise men left. And so it goes on that Herod ends up, you know, being tricked by the Magi. And he goes and starts killing babies, right? In Bethlehem. Now, you have to understand, I just this weekend found out that Byron, our new red heifer connection, through Brian Davenport, my friend, who's on the show with us the other night, he hooked up to Byron. Byron has Bonet Israel, where they are getting everything together for literally for the temple, for the Jews. And he told me tonight, he said he works with, he literally sent me this text just a minute ago, just to make sure I get this right. He said, my instructions, this is Byron talking, he'll come on the show soon, I think, so let us know about this whenever he's ready. He said January, so hopefully January. He said, here's what Byron says. He said, my instructions are to merge Jew and Gentile believers in the God of Abraham. And the birthplace of King David and Jesus Christ, same place, is his tool for the merger. Now watch this. He's just telling me this like 5 minutes ago, maybe less than that, just now. And so we're talking about the house that they have. He sent me pictures of the house or the apartment that they have in Israel. And I'm looking, I see a paved road out in the front window, right? So I asked him right out. I said, well, has that road been paved for a while? He said, well, it was dirt. It was dirt road in 2007, paved in 2008. You know, and that's about it. And it doesn't have to line up. It doesn't have to line up. But I started having those dreams and visions in 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010. About that time, I was having one vision after the other about the economy. God showing me things that I have never even talked about, the way the economy is going to be, you know, stopped up. And he showed me literal pictures of a river, and the river got stopped up, and he showed me how and the whole thing. I mean, all this stuff was stuff that was going back on in, you know, 2007, 2006, 2007, 2008, you know, and during all the time. So he told me today, he said that road was dirt. Well, you know, I didn't really notice that the road was dirt. It just looked dirt to me when I, in the dream, you know, you don't pay attention to the road, right? That the two witnesses were driving, are coming down, like, you know, they're speeding down the road, and it looked like it was dirt, but, you know, I'm pretty sure it was dirt, but, you know, I wasn't paying attention to the dirt. I was paying attention to that, but I asked him, I said, was it dirt? Has it been dirt for very long? He said, well, 2007, look at this. This is what he says, was paved in 2008. And so, the road I saw, I'm almost positive it was dirt. I'm pretty positive it was dirt. And so I said, in the field in front of me, on the other side of the road, of the two of the house I was at, it was fields, just fields. Like there weren't houses out in front of the house. There might have been some on the side, I don't know, but there wasn't anything out in front, because I would look out in front, you could see there was no houses, kind of like empty space, basically. And from what I could see. And, of course, the focus was the two witnesses, right? And so, y'all, now watch this. The two witnesses are now connecting in a big way, because Byron, who's the guy who's setting up everything for the, you know, the temple and all that, and I just read you his calling that he said he has, is to join Jew and Gentile believers in the God of Abraham and the birthplace of the king. Now watch this. He just sent this to me 12 ago. Because we've been talking about this, the dream that I had about the birthplace, that the two witnesses that showed up to see, they said, the one on the horse, as he got off his horse and walked toward him, he said, we have come to see where the king was born, just like that. And so here's what he's talking about. He's saying, Randy, this is what I'm called to do, is to bring Jew and Gentile believers together. And the birthplace of King David and Christ, which King David was born in Bethlehem, right? And the Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem, because the dream I'm having, I'm in a house in Bethlehem. Had to be Bethlehem, somewhere Bethlehem, you know, because wherever the king was born, wherever David was born, and wherever Christ was born, that area, they had come to see that, and I'm there. So I'm talking to him, and we're talking about this stuff just right now before the show, and so what's happening is that the same thing that happened in the days when the Magi came and went to, they were following the star, and somehow they ended up in Herod's presence. And Herod, they were asking him, you know, where's the king at? And so, you know, because it's all about the birth of Jesus. And so the birth of Jesus was prophesied in the Bible. And that's what one of the things we're talking about right now. Literally, this is all happening as we're approaching Christmas and Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is really about the rebuilding of the temple. That's kind of where they're focusing right now, is the rebuilding of the temple right now. Right now. And with the red heifer thing going on, and the next year or so, the heifers stay red. They have several of them. Have some that are really, really red. One that is really, really, really red, from what I understand. And he'll tell us more about that. But all this is about the birth of Jesus. And so, many of you may not know it, and I wasn't aware of it. But there's a big controversy on where Jesus was born, right? The area, the place. And so Byron, the one we're talking to here, the one who's the red heifer person, is letting me know that he is in the process of proving. Now, listen to this. He's in the process of proving that Christ was born in this in the Bethlehem he's talking about, which is, we think, is the same Bethlehem that I was in a house that we think might be have something to do with what their house or something in that area. And so this is all happening in the last few days, right? Right as we're approaching this. So God spoke to me. He said, the spirit of Herod. Herod understood prophecy. He even asked his people that understood the scripture to go look and see. Go try to find for yourself, because he was planning to kill him. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. All this stuff is happening with the red heifer. All this stuff is happening with what Byron and I are talking about. There is a spirit of Herod. God showed me this. There's a spirit of Herod that even though Herod knows and he's in Israel and believes in Scripture, and they tell him that the Messiah is going to come and the Messiah is going to be king and is going to take his place, and he says, ain't nobody going to take my place, basically. Ain't nobody going to take my place. And so Herod went after him, even though he knew it was prophesied for many, you know, hundreds of years, long time, right? Been prophesied. The spirit of, y'all, let me show you, the spirit of Herod, as we are now approaching the red heifer, which is already in Israel, and you guys know about how I gave the name of the Antichrist on September the 12th, 2022. And then 3 days later, the red heifer ended up in Israel, which was, to me personally, as a prophet who had the information, was total confirmation that this is the red heifers. This is it. And then a week later, I'm talking to Byron by text, and I go to his website to check him out to see, you know, what he does and everything, and saw on his website that they had a house in Bethlehem. I'm going like, what? This can't be. So that's when I text him. This happened Sunday, about 11:30. I text him. I told him the story. I'm in Bethlehem in this dream with the two witnesses show up. And then he tells me, he said, Randy, when I was 13 years old, that God spoke to him when he was 13 years old, that he would help the two witnesses. Y'all see this? This is like unbelievable stuff. This is actually happening before our eyes. And the spirit of Herod is going to try to come in. Those who are watching prophecy, those who believe in prophecy, those who are going to get people to look it up for them. Give me the time. They're going to talk to Jewish rabbis and, I mean, whoever else will give them the information and tell me where this stuff is going to start happening so we can stop it. Oh, and I just went, dear God, that's even a greater sign of where we are. They're going to try to stop the building of the temple. They're going to try to stop a lot of things. And so I'm just kind of getting I'm just getting started with this, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow night during the show. And we're going to talk about it tomorrow night and then Thursday night, because it just happens to be Christmas time, and I always wonder, what do you want me to talk about during Christmas time? And the Lord's going, like today, like, well, why don't you just talk about what's going on prophetically with you and when Byron and Brian and Ty and the whole Jewish thing and all the everything going on. He said, Randy, this is more Christmas and Hanukkah this year than anything has ever been, because now Deborah sent me a message. Deborah and John, that does shows with us on Tuesdays. Well, did her show today. She sent me a text. She said, did you know that Hanukkah, Jewish holiday, and Christmas kind of overlap? I went, oh, okay. So isn't it amazing, y'all, that it just so happens that the very time that we are watching the red heifer come about, that we are finding out that the two witnesses showed up in Bethlehem to want to see where the king was born, because that's where they're going to come. They're going to come there because they want to see it before they go to war, because I was handing them the two banners, because the banners have to do with, you know, representing who they are. You know, so they are about to go to war. It's about going to war with the Antichrist and with the one world system. That's their job. And I'm going to be helping them. And I guess Byron's going to be helping them. Maybe we'll be helping them together. I don't know. We'll see. You know, this is almost, you know, unbelievable. And y'all been listening to me for a long time. I don't play with this stuff. It's extremely serious. And you're starting to see, you know, I've been talking about this for a while, and some of you have been listening for a while. You kind of get, some of you have been kind of halfway listening, like, okay, well, yeah, get on with the other stuff, you know. And some of you have been listening really close and really intent. Some of you a little more of you will start to listen a little bit closer, because this stuff is literally happening, literally. And so there's a lot more we're going to talk about in the future. We're going to be doing this. But y'all get ready, because, you know, this is also about PGN, which is, you know, the network that we have here that I'm, you know, in the president of, so to speak. And God has set me to run the thing. And so I'm under his guidance, and we pretty well keep it free around here, where we can just talk about whatever we want to talk about, whatever God wants me to talk about. That's what we talk about. You know, I'm not restricted by anybody telling me what I can do and not do, which is the why we have this place. Right. So it just so happens that all this stuff is connecting at Christmas time, and has everything to do with Christmas, because this year Hanukkah, which I heard some Jewish people talking today about Hanukkah, saying that somehow it has to do with the rebuilding of the temple, because the rebuilding of the temple had to do with they had the oil for 8 days, they had enough oil for one day, and it burned for 8 days. And they just kind of reopened up the temple a little bit and getting ready to get the temple going again. That's what the whole Hanukkah thing is about, in a nutshell. And I'm probably not saying it all perfect, so, but that's generally speaking pretty much it. And so let me see if I can find this information here and read this to you so I can get this correct. I don't want to mess it up too bad. I'm sure there are going to be some friends that will keep me straight, and I would love that. Please keep me straight. I like to keep straight. If I mess something up, just say, hey, man, you messed it up. No problem. I'll just go, oh, yeah, okay. Well, I don't claim to know too much anyway. So, all right, here it is. I wrote this down today. Hanukkah is going on. Hanukkah, the Jewish holiday, and the Christmas holiday are overlapping. Now, Deborah told me it was happening this year. I don't know if it's the only year it's ever happened, but it hadn't maybe happened in a long time. I'm not sure. If she's listening, she might could tell us that, if anybody else knows. So what's amazing about this, y'all, is that this year Hanukkah is overlapping Christmas, and this year it just happens to be that everything we're involved in is overlapping, you know, with the red heifer, with everything God's having us do with it, with the two witnesses giving the name of the Antichrist, and 3 days later the red heifer showing up in Israel. I thought it was a hoax. I mean, I thought somebody was messing with me. I, honest to God, I hate to say, Mr. Wonderful Believer here, feeling like, yeah, you got to prove that one to me, because that's just too amazing. Well, it just happened that it wasn't only happening, it was happening from Texas, and not only was it happening in Texas, it was happening with somebody I was very close friends with, you know, for over the years. We haven't seen each other. He's been on the show, one of the show once in 2014, January 2014. Him and his wife, Debbie, were on the show with us back then. Some of you might remember that, maybe not, but so Brian was on with us back then, and everybody just loved them and loved the way they prayed, and same thing as this time, same thing, and that's been since 2014. So, here's the purpose of Hanukkah. The purpose of Hanukkah is the rebuilding of the temple. So the purpose of Christmas should be rededicating Jesus, you know, or understanding that Jesus, who is the temple, who is the Ark of the Covenant, who is the menorah, who is all that, that Hanukkah is about rebuilding the temple, and Jesus is about rebuilding the temple. Even though we already have him, he's going to have the temple rebuilt, right? But he is the temple, so we don't really need it, but the Jews are going to get it, and it's going to be a sign of him coming back, right? And it's a sign of them taking Jerusalem back, taking their holy places back. That's what Hanukkah is all about. And so we are just happen to be right in the middle of this, you know, in our own way, the fact that most of you who keep up with what we do know that we're right in the middle of this thing, you know, without even realizing it. And what's happening is that, you know, that Hanukkah just so happens that this year, which I don't know if it ever has before, probably has before, overlapped before, but it's been a long time, maybe. I don't know. I don't know the timing on it. But Deborah told me about it. She said it's overlapping into Christmas. Well, I thought, well, that's amazing, you know, especially now with what's going on with the whole situation about Bethlehem and the dream I had somewhere between, you know, 2008, 2007. I don't remember what I told everybody. I don't really remember. I tried to guess 2008, 2009. I really don't remember when I had it because I didn't write it down back then. I didn't do that back then as much as I do now. So I've been talking about it for a long time. And anyway, so we're seeing that God is trying to say to us this Christmas is going to be different than any Christmas that we've ever had prophetically. Remember, we said that 2022, I sent out cards, a little poster card with a picture of the Ark of the Covenant and the you know, which in the temple and all that. I sent that out. Let me see if I can get it right up here. That 2022 was going to be the year of treasures. Well, brother, I'm telling you, if this isn't a year of treasure with all this information that we're getting and the way God is connecting us to this. Yes. Okay, Byron, if you're listening, listen to this, man. You got to hear what I sent out in January of this year, 2022. Watch this. This is what I sent out. I sent out a picture of, you know, big 2022 at the top, year of treasures. Have the Ark of the Covenant right there in Isaiah 22:22, Byron, or whoever's listening to this. This is what I sent out in January, saying this is the year of treasures. 2022 was the year of Isaiah 22:22. Watch what it says. I will place on his shoulders the key of the house of David. What he opens, no man can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. And I sent that out in January 2022. The year of treasures, transfer of wealth, treasures from the Father, opened through the cross of Christ, keys of revelation from the Holy Spirit, BGN, and talked about that. And so here we are with the keys of opening up the treasures of the house of David. Literally, when that was opened up, because David really paid for a lot of the temple. He paid for a lot of the temple, David did. And so here we are now talking about the dream I had, and Byron, who's our new friend with the red heifers, and the temple and all, building a temple, having all that put together and all that. He'll tell us exactly what he does. I'll probably mess it up a little bit, but that's what he does. And so, and then Hanukkah happens to overlap Christmas, which is very unusual, right? And it's about the rebuilding of the temple. Hanukkah is. And Christmas is about Jesus, who is the temple. Well, I guess he is the temple. Amen. He is our sacrifice. And he's coming back, y'all. Coming back to Jerusalem. And this is just kind of hard to take in. It's just so amazing. It's so wow. And here we are, like I told you guys, you know, several years ago, that God told me that I was going to be right in the middle of it prophetically. Eventually I understood that he was telling me I was going to be right in the middle of everything prophetically. And you know all the stories over the years of Ebola and how we're in the middle of that, and terrorist attacks and tornadoes and all that, and you know, the whole thing. We talked a little bit about that last night. So this is very, very exciting, and we're going to watch the spirit of Herod. It's kind of like a warning that just like as in the days when Jesus was born, and now that God is bringing back the place to find out where Jesus really was born, that's what Byron is doing. Byron is helping us, helping to reestablish the fact that the Bethlehem, where they say that Jesus was born, is not it. Right? That's the whole battle they're going through. This is the big battle going on. And maybe he'll tell us more about it. I'm not sure. But, you know, when you read on his website, you see that, what's going on. And he is right in the middle of, not only does he have a little, had an apartment, he'd been in Jerusalem in the Bethlehem area for a while, living there, just came back to Texas. But, you know, his whole ministry is to connect people to the birth of Jesus, or the birth of David, where David was born in Bethlehem, and where Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And then my dream that I had, that he just got so excited about, because, you know, I told him, I said, I had this dream. I was in a house, and it had to be Bethlehem, because they said, we've come to see where the king was born. And he said, Randy, you know, and we don't know if it's his house or not. We're trying to check it out. I've got pictures. I look at him. confirmation, but not total confirmation yet, that that's literally the place, you know, the exact place. We'll find out. But it's the big thing Byron told me, he says, hey, I got something on 13. I'll be part of the two witnesses. So when I shared that dream with him by text, and then I kind of leave a voicemail because I didn't know if I made it clear enough, he answers the phone, and we start talking about it. And so, friend, this is right on top of the hot subjects of what's happening in the middle, in the main root of prophecy. We're talking about tonight. We're right there connected to it. And the fact that Byron was so humble before the Lord when I told him that the angel handed me the two banners, you know, he said, well, can you hand one of those to me? I'm in the spirit. I'm going like, well, I don't know. I'm sure I would love to. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't have any instructions on who I'm going to hand them to, but I'm sure. Yeah. Obviously if God showed you, you're going to be helping the two witnesses. Obviously you're going to have one. So, you know, but I don't know. I haven't had God speak that to me specifically, but I would think that would be awesome. Right. So all this stuff is happening. Y'all, this is actually happening right before our eyes, right before our eyes. And we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the things that happened in the area that he says is the true Bethlehem, which we believe that the reason I shared that dream with him about the two witnesses being in Bethlehem was because, and I'm connected with him and nobody else that's involved in this. He's involved in this, right in the middle and involved with this. And I'm texting him my dream about the two witnesses at a house to see where the king was born to him, which is confirming to him, I believe it's confirming to him that this is literally the place, that he's on the right track, in other words, that they're wrong and he's right, basically, if you want to be real blunt about it. So we'll see about all that. But that is literally going on, y'all, during a battle over there. Been a battle that I think for a while. He may be able to tell us about it more, but wow. Wow, wow, wow. So the spirit of Herod is going to be coming, even with people who know prophecy. Herod understood prophecy. He had his people who knew about prophecy. Go look it up, he said. Go find out where he's going to be born, because he found out the Magi and didn't come back. Then he said, well, I'll find out myself. So he went and killed, you know, all the babies from 2 years old and younger, killed them all, right, in that area. In that area where David was born and where Jesus was born, in Bethlehem, killed them all. Wow. So the Lord is showing me, Byron, if you have to get a chance to listen to this, that this, we're going to see this thing. And so God's going to, you know, use people to speak about it. Hopefully he'll give me some information about it very specifically in detail about how to counteract it. And I think one of the things that Byron is fighting really basically is the spirit of Herod. The spirit of Herod, we're going to talk more about that tomorrow night. I'm going to get in detail about that tomorrow night, how he is involved literally in that. And so it's going to be really cool to find out all this stuff. And friend, I'm telling you, we just can't make this stuff up, man. You just cannot make this stuff up. It is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, so it's already getting late tonight, and we're going to move on. And hopefully Byron said he was available sometime in January. So I don't know if that's, hopefully that will work out. He just texted me before I got on the show tonight. I wish I could have got him on the show tonight. I would love for him to hear him talk about all this stuff. But, okay. Mike says, I'd like to be there. Let me know the dates. I'll plan on getting a plane ticket. I'll help any way I can. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, I don't know what I was going to go on. It's going to be amazing to find out. God will give me, I'm sure he'll give me specific instructions. He has so far, so we'll just believe God for the rest of it. All right. Brian sent me something to hear about it. Holy Spirit revival. We'll have to look at that later. All right, you guys, we're here live on PGN tonight. We're just so excited. I know I'm not really doing a lot of teaching right now, but I never am really a teacher anyway, but we revelate prophetically. And so we're just going to continue to do that. That's what we're here for. So if people don't if they want something else, then, you know where to find it. There's a lot of other places out there doing a lot of other great things, right? But we just happen to have our area that we flow in, and it just happens to be right in the middle of what God's doing prophetically and at the roots of everything. And it's just shocking, absolutely shocking. Wow, absolutely unbelievable. All right, let's get ready to take callers tonight. Thank you. I don't know what else I can share. I'm preparing. I've been preparing all day the best I can to get ready to feed you guys this specific information so we can not only document it here on the show and on my other ways I document things, and we'll be documenting those things, double documentation. I have to make sure we're covered really good on that. And so, wow, we're going to be talking about this tomorrow night. Tomorrow will be Wednesday and then Thursday. So please listen closely if you can. Please listen closely. And don't just look at this like it's another thing we're doing. This is the actual real deal that's happening. And we've been talking about the real deal for a long time and how we're right in the middle of it already and have been for a long time. But it's now starting to accelerate at a place that it's just remarkable what's happening. God is so gracious and so kind. Woo, PGN is in. All right, we prophesied to you guys about PGN about a couple months ago and said, in one day, and that's basically what's happened. In one day, you know, you might say in a few one days, major things, major connections. God has connected us, and we're there to prophesy. I'm there. My job, I'll tell you what my job is pretty soon, I'm sure. My job is to prophesy over nations, prophesying over Israel for a season. And over other nations, I'll be prophesying over them. That's what I'm going to be doing. And somehow or another, PGN is going to be right in the middle of it, either through Skype, through video, you know, the whole thing. Somehow it's all going to be connected. And it's going to be just mind-boggling. Okay. I'm mind-boggled enough. Let's do something else. Let's take callers here tonight. I'm going to start with my first caller tonight. If you got any questions tonight, make sure and get those questions in. If you want to ask me questions, I will try my best to answer them. We feel thrilled and humbled that God would speak to us and show us these things way before they happened and how he's now connecting us to all of it. And it's actually literally put a whole other face on those dreams as they're more literal than I even thought. And I never knew if that dream with the two witnesses actually showing up was going to be literal or not. I thought it might have been symbolic, showing me my purpose, you know, which I already knew. But back in the 90s, I knew. And then I thought it was just confirming that. So that's why it wasn't too big of a shocker, but it was surprising, to say the least. But I was already knew. So it was just like confirmation to me. And but who would know the timing would be now? I mean, that's what's unbelievable. All right, let's take our callers tonight, and let's see what's going on. Okay, we're going to go to 111. Who am I talking to? Ruth Trump, please.
Hello?
Who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Barbara from Texas.
Oh, hi, Barbara.
How are you? And I also have a praise report.
Oh, well, good. Let's pray for you, and then we'll come back and talk about that. Thank you for that. We usually pray for people before we talk to them most of the time. We try to do that. So thank you, Lord, for Barbara tonight from Texas. We thank you, Lord, that you're opening up avenues to her to humble her in the sense of, you know, when God uses you, there's a different way God humbles us. Sometimes God humbles us through difficult situations. Sometimes he humbles us by doing mighty things. I mean, every time God does a mighty thing with me, it humbles me, right? It's just a humbling thing. Like when the Magi, you know, had the angel, when all this stuff happened with the Magi, I mean, they were just like, you know, they were just honored, you know. They were humbled and honored that God showed them in the stars. And it's just a really beautiful thing. So humility comes sometimes by God's overwhelming goodness. You know, we all have our own times of humility. I've had plenty of them where God has broken me and humbled me through difficult situations, no doubt about it. Through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And that is so true, brother, because through trouble, sometimes we enter into new things. But those new things are so amazing. You look back and go, man, it's like giving birth to a child, which I've never done. But they say you just kind of forget the pain and enjoy the new thing that's been birthed. So that's what we're going to see, you know, is going to go through those hard times. Something new is going to be birthed, like what's happening right now at PGN. And I see now the trouble that I went through from May, this May. I give words in the market. I've given lots of words in the market. Usually when I give words in the market, it's just the opposite of what the whole globe is saying. It was that way this time also. And they said it was going way down, inflation and recession, and everything was hitting. And they said it's all going to go down in May. I said, no, it's going to go up. From the numbers it's going to go up to 33,000. It did exactly that. Then I said it's going to go 34 with 34. Because God showed me, you know, I don't know myself. God showed me. Went back down again and turned around. The Lord said, tell him. Everybody said, oh, it's going to crash again. It's going down. The Lord said, tell him it's going to 33 again. I said, tell him it's going to 33 again? That's what I thought. I was thinking. I didn't say that, but I thought it. That's the same thing with God, right? Yeah. Tell him again? It's going to go to 33 again and then 34 again? He said, tell him. Just tell him. So I did, as you guys know. And the market, again, went up to 33. So God, when he talks, he doesn't just say, oh, it's going up, going to go down. He tells many times, not every time, he tells us numbers. And most of the time he tells me numbers. And so it's amazing that he said it's going to go 33 and then 34, and then it already did that. That's already happened. It's come to pass. And now it's kind of been a little struggling thing right now. But, you know, so God is good, man. But during that time, I went through a really difficult time, Barbara. I went through a difficult time. Don't know why. I've had words that have been contrary to what everybody else is saying many, many times. You know, the Trump thing. That was, you know, I voted for Trump, but, you know, God said that's not going to happen. So, wow. I mean, so many things in the market, it's been contrary to what everybody has said. And so, you know, I've been used to that. But for some reason, this time, we were breaking through into another area of, man, the warfare I was going through. Not the warfare, the pressure that I was under, you know, not even understanding why, nothing really wrong, you know, just stuff, regular stuff. But, you know, I'm under this tremendous pressure, like being squeezed big time. And now I know why, because we birthed this whole thing has been birthed now. And now we birthed into, you know, the red heifer thing. And then now, you know, Brian, my friend Brian Davenport, and now Byron and Ty and all those guys, it's just really been amazing. So, all right, Barbara, let's go here and talk to you. I'm kind of going all over the place tonight because I'm so overwhelmed and overexcited and humbled by all that's going on. How are you doing, Barbara? What's up? You have a testimony to say, huh?
Yes. When you had pushed the number, you know, I was praying and just, you know, I was getting on different ones before you called as I was ministering. To let them know to watch what they say and how they say things, even if they're just playing or gesturing. I said, you don't want curses spoken over you. And I said, so we have to go back and pull down every stronghold and every ancestor spirit and, you know, and then just repent. And so we were all into that conversation. And but anyway, as we got into it, you know, the Lord was giving me different prayers to pray for different things, you know, the Antichrist spirit and different things that you talked about. And so I was just enjoying that word. And the praise report was that the common, the peace of God, it was at a different level. And and it happened on Monday. As
wow.
I was praying and asking God, you know, to keep me humble, keep me sweet, keep my heart like white as snow and, you know, and just celebrating and thanking the Lord for what he's already done, you know, and
right.
Just listening at the word all week that you have been given. And I thank you because you had given me that word because I think it was Angela Joy. She said that she could just see things flying from everywhere, all kind of things. And I said, well, you know, it is close to Christmas, and we have to stay before the Lord. And when we do that, we can also be celebrating because it's just that time of the season. It's just a different season. And when you had prayed for me, you kept saying about the different level of peace, how God will take you on a different level. And I was just thanking God for that because it was just so beautiful. It was just a humbling experience, you know, when you just stay before the Lord. Mm-hmm. So, but it was all good.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, that is really awesome. Thank God for his peace. Yeah, we're in a time of peace. You know, we should be in, we're going to be in peace whether the world's in peace or not. That's the thing, that the gift that we have from God is that we can be in peace. It doesn't mean we don't have battles and struggles, but we can have a peace knowing that it's all going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and be content.
Yeah.
Because the enemy will try to get us in areas that we're not content in. He'll try to get us in areas that we have our eyes too much on things, or too much on people, or too much on a particular thing other than him. And God's a very jealous God. He's a very jealous, he's extremely jealous in a holy kind of way. And he knows that if we get our eyes off him, we're going to get messed up. So that's the element of jealousy is to keep our eyes on him, you know. And so,
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm learning. God, help me keep my eyes on you, Jesus, so I can stay in that peace, that peace realm where I can keep the peace. Yeah.
Mhm. And because you know you have different ones that are come to you and bring you this problem, that problem, and this one, and praying for the homeless and the orphan spirit, and you know, and I need somewhere to stay. I need this. I need that. And it was just, you know, a lot of things that was going on. And, you know, and wanting me to help and do this and that. And I said, oh, Lord, keep me focused. Keep me level. Keep me balanced. Keep me focused, Lord, you know. So
absolutely.
I just give God the praise. Because he said, to whom much is given, much is required. So I thank God for divine order. You know,
right,
the Creator want us to do and have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's putting us in order. The main order he has is pretty simple. Keep me first. That's the main order. And we'll keep him first. It's really basically kind of simple, but when we keep him first, then he starts showing us how to keep him first and how to keep him that way. And that's what order is, you know, he has a real thing all through the Bible of, you know, put him first, put God first, seek first the kingdom, you know, don't be lukewarm, you know. Be hot or cold. And so it's something about that when it keeps our lives in order when we, you know, put him first. Because we're endeavoring always to put him first. That's what, you know, okay, I had this out of the wrong place. So I got to put this over here and that over there. And God says do this, put this before that. And, you know, and we always have him first. And then he starts ordering our life for us. Our steps are ordered. Things just start happening. It's just really so simple, Barbara, as you know, that the order that we have is not some legalistic thing. You know, the word of God is definitely an active to keep us, you know, tell us what needs to be first. But the Holy Spirit definitely, you know, helps us keep that order going on and keep it. The order is him first, everything else next, you know. And then he even shows us what goes in line after that, you know. And when he's first, then he shows us what's second and third and fourth. You know, or what, however you want to say it. So that order is really because of that, as you know. But yeah,
yes,
awesome.
Sir. And I wanted you also to pray for my pray for Leslie.
Yeah, Leslie, your daughter.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh. The oldest. Uh huh. I think she's what, 42, 43. I don't know, but she's somewhere.
I don't
up
know.
Here, yeah.
Well, don't say too
know.
Much. You want to keep yourself looking young.
Yeah, because everybody thinks she's the mother anyway. I'm like, wait a minute, hold up. You know, because of these 11 grandbabies I have, I'm like, hold up, y'all. I'm still here. This is mama you talking to.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. All right, let's pray for Leslie and anything else.
No, sir, just a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. Yes, yes, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to everybody. We'll be doing that for you, Barbara. Thank you for letting us know about that. What a great testimony and about the peace of God, man. When you got the peace of God going on, that's a miracle. I mean, that's a miracle. That's the miracle of Jesus. That's the miracle of, you know, putting him first. When you put him first, there's no unnecessary warfare. Like, you know, you ever tried seeing a wife or a husband that's jealous? You know, you making your husband jealous, or you making your wife jealous, or your kids jealous? You know what happens with them? They just start kind of like freaking out and start acting crazy. That's kind of what God does. He doesn't freak out and act crazy, but he kind of like, he just creates warfare, right? So anytime we don't put God first, it creates warfare. Warfare means no peace. When it's God, you're stirring up. You know, when you're, you know, constantly, when we are constantly, struggling with, you know, putting God first, it's just that the jealousy of God kicks in, and that begins this thing where he starts saying, man, you know, you talk about from warfare, just make God jealous and see what happens, right? He just kind of like everything just starts getting stirred up, you know, like it starts going a little bit crazy. So it's really cool. So we keep him first. When you keep him first, I tell people all the time, if you we're not under the law, but you can tell if somebody's really walking with the Holy Spirit because they're keeping the law. Yeah, you keep the law. When you walk in the Spirit, you fulfill the law. That's what you do. That's how you can tell when somebody's really close to God, is that when they're walking in the Spirit, they fulfill the law. That's how Jesus fulfilled the law. He wasn't under the law. He was born under the law, but he fulfilled it by the Holy Spirit, right? That's what we do. We're not under the law, but yet the law has not been done away with. Jesus fulfilled it, so how do we fulfill it? When you walk in the Spirit, you fulfill the law, right? We're not trying to fulfill it all by trying to do it. We walk in the Spirit, and then you fulfill the law. It's just almost automatic, if you will, by the Holy Spirit. So, amen. So thank you, Lord, for Leslie tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for Leslie, God. We thank you for giving her those breakthroughs of that provision, that realm of providing for her, Father. It's not just about money or things. It's about people in our lives. It's about the right people, the right place at the right time. And we thank you, Lord, for that provision, even that financial provision, Father. We thank you for opening up financial provision, Father, in Jesus' name, that as she keeps God first, keep God first, you know. That's why God sometimes doesn't allow us to have, when you're younger, just get saved. He said, stay away from the girls and the guys for a while. You know, we're going to have that eventually. Yeah, I want family. But, you know, grow in me. Get close to me, saith the Lord. I mean, when you're tight with him, then he can trust you that you're not going to, you know, mess up and put that person, that the love of your life, before him, right? Because when you love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your strength, and your neighbor as yourself, you find yourself, he will give you love for a loved one. He will give you love for that girlfriend, that boyfriend, that wife, that husband. He will give you love. Because all of your love, when you give it to him, there's no other love to give to anybody else, right? Except God then gives you his love for what he wants you to love and who he wants you to love and what level he wants you to love him. Thank you, Jesus, for that revelation in Jesus' name, for Leslie, God, more and more and more, God. Hallelujah. She is pleasing the Lord. When you please the Lord, you have peace. It's kind of like happy wife, happy life, happy husband, happy life. You know, if you're making your husband jealous, hey, if you're provoking him, he's going to be like rattling cages. He's going to be doing something. It just creates an atmosphere. Same thing with a wife. You make a wife jealous, it's like she just kind of does something very unique. Same thing with God. We make God jealous, and he is a jealous God, and that jealousy is pure, is unadulterated, is there to help keep us from trouble, from unnecessary problems. Amen. And when we're satisfied, we're satisfying him. He's first in our life, then that peace, that passive understanding remains. But when it's not that, that's not intact, we're not intact. And I thank the Lord for showing Leslie that more and more and more, Jesus, not just with talk, God first, but in every area of her life, by the Holy Spirit, not under the law, but by the Holy Spirit. When she's walking by the Spirit, she's going to find herself fulfilling it all just easily. So the Holy Spirit's empowering her. That's the fruit of walking in the Spirit, is you fulfill the law, right? That's amazing, man, how Jesus did that. Jesus did that. He's our sample. Hallelujah. Amen. We did away with the law. Jesus didn't do away with it. He just fulfilled it. Praise God. Walk in the Spirit, fulfill the law. Just like that. Just that simple. Amen. You can tell if somebody's walking in the Spirit or not by that one thing. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. Hallelujah. Amen. And bless her, God, and make her healthy, God, and show her how to eat, what to drink, you know, to keep her body healthy and strong. feed your brain, feed your body, what it needs so our body can work and do what it's supposed to do. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Pray, bless Barbara, Father. Activate her faith, Father, in Jesus' name, at new levels. In Jesus' name, for that miracle ministry, for that miracle faith. In Jesus' name, believe in you for miracles of all kinds. Sometimes somebody not having peace, it takes a miracle to get them in peace. Sometimes people don't have a body part or something in their body that's messed up. It takes a miracle to get them fixed up. God, thank you, Lord, for that miracle realm and all the different levels of the miracle realm. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. All right, 662-806. I think Cynthia from where is she at
Mississippi.
Now? Mississippi. Mississippi, there you go.
Mississippi, yeah.
All right, let's pray for you. Cynthia, thank you for being with us tonight. We'd like to try to pray for people before we talk too much to them. So thank you, Lord, for Cynthia tonight. We thank you, Lord, for that heartbreaking thing. Like her, I keep every time I say a thing about your book, about her, like the brokenhearted, and all the scriptures about the brokenhearted, how God is comes to the brokenhearted. Because when people are broken, they know they're broken. Jesus said, "I came for those who are broken, who need healing." If you're already healed, then, you know, in whatever level, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, if you're already healed, you don't really feel like you need Jesus that much. But to the brokenhearted, God is close because they know they need him. And God, I thank you for that training her and raising her up and showing her how to maintain that neediness of God without having to be broken, you know, in those ways again. We remember what manner of man we were. We remember what brokenness did for us, how it got us closer to him, united with him, intimate with him, that we can remain in that place of contentment, of staying broken before God without having all of our situations broken up. We remain in that place of being poor. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Thank you, Lord, that you're teaching my sister how to maintain being poor in the spirit, right? Poor in the spirit means you know that you can do nothing without him. Jesus was poor because he said, "I can do nothing." Nothing means when you have nothing, you're poor. He said, "I can do nothing except what I see my Father do." Help her maintain that. Just like Jesus, "I can do nothing. I am poor in spirit. I must have him." Hallelujah. He must come and dwell with me and help me and prosper me and bless me in his will in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go here and talk to her right now. All right.
Thank you.
How are you doing, Cynthia? What's going on?
I'm doing fine. I just have another prayer request, but I want it to be unspoken. And so that's...
Oh, and unspoken. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll do that in here a little bit. Anything else going on? Any questions? Anything? Getting ready to go to Rome. I know you talked about that last week. You're getting ready to go to Rome. You had an opportunity to go to Rome. People, one of your kinfolk or your brother-in-law or your somebody.
My nephew.
Your nephew. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, something like that. Made a way for you to go to Rome for, you're going to be there for a couple of weeks?
For, I think, 11 days.
11 days. Okay. Wow. Cool. Awesome. So you got that going on. That's going to be in what?
March
8th. March 8th. That's right, March 8th. I should remember that number, March the 8th. Yeah. All right, so let's go. You're getting ready for that. Hey, you've gotten your passport going, I guess. I'm sure you've got that kicked in and rolling, right?
I haven't got it started yet. I won't be able to do that till the 3rd. And so as soon as the 3rd gets here, I'm rushing up there to get it expedited, hopefully. Because I know it takes a while.
Yeah, it takes. I can't remember how long it takes, but I had mine redone not long ago.
Yeah, I wish I would have kept mine up, but I didn't, so.
It'll be good. It'll work. All right. Anything you want to share before I pray for you? Anything you want to talk about?
Well, I just even though I've read that so many times, it never occurred to me. Yes, of course, Herod believed that Jesus was born, and the rabbis didn't. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's right. And it just, it's funny how you can read something and it just never click. But when you said that, I was like, oh yeah, he did. He sure did believe.
Yeah, he believed so much that he had, he risked, I mean, he went and had a bunch of babies killed. I mean, a bunch of children. Yeah, that's a pretty risky thing to do. They had to really believe that they, he was very intimidated by that.
Yeah, yeah, to do something like that. And it's just, boy, very interesting. I just never thought of it like that before. But even though I knew, but
yeah,
I didn't know.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, same here. I never really connected it either. And it's pretty cool how that, you know, he even had some of his, I don't have the information right in front of me, but he had some of his guys go look and see. Because when the Magi didn't show back up, he figured, you know, they caught on. They picked up something, you know, from him. And so they never showed back up. So he had his own guys go, you know, let's dig through the scripture and find out where he's going to be born. Actually went to Bethlehem, which is a place that we're talking about right now where the two witnesses are going to show up, where Jesus was born. Also, King David was born there. And that's what Byron has a house. I think we'll talk about that tonight. But Byron has a house there. He sent me pictures tonight so I could see pictures of it. And the road I saw in front of the house I was in was not paved. It was dirt. And, you know, 99% of it's sure it was dirt. So I asked him, I said, is that road in front of that apartment there you have, that you guys, where you guys live, has that been paved for a long time? And he said, well, they started paving it in about 2007, 2008, something like that. I went, well, that's about when I had that dream. Not that it matters whether it was paved or not, you know, but when God shows you a dream, it just, you know, but yeah, it's amazing that road had just been paved in front of their house that overlooks Bethlehem just in 2008. And that's about when God gave me those dreams.
Wow. Well, and also I think you said they were going really fast when the dust was coming up. Doesn't that happen on a dirt a paved road that's got dirt?
It could.
Dirt?
Yes. Exactly. Good
if
point.
If they're going really fast.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why I told him. I said I'm not guaranteeing that it was. I asked him if it was paved because in the dream, I remember it was like, you know, I'm looking out the front window of the living room, and he even sent me a picture of the living room with the window, actually. He sent me an extra picture of that. And, you know, so it's like, you know, when you have a dream, you don't pay attention to all the details unless the details make a difference, you know. And so I looked out the window. I saw them coming down the road. It looked like it was dirt because there was – It seemed dirtish, you know, but you're right. But they're going to come in the future. So if they come down that particular road, like you said, it could have dirt on it already from just, you know, the whole area has a lot of sand and dirt, like any area.
Right.
I was raised in the country, you know, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I never thought about that. You're correct.
Yeah. I used to live in the country too for a while. So yeah, I thought it did. And from what I remembered. So,
yeah, and not that that's a... Yeah, go ahead.
You were saying how there's going to be a spirit of Herod. What do you mean exactly by that?
Well, in other words, the spirit of Herod is that there's going to be leadership. He was the... What do they call him? Herod was the Jewish... He was the... Let's see... Hang on a second. Let me look. Somebody look up Herod for me to get his exact title. Herod's title. But when you know it spells heritage instead of Herod. H-E-R-O-D. Y'all let me look it up just so I won't misquote it here. Okay. Herod was granted the title of King of Judea. Herod the Great. Herod Antipas. Herod the Great. Y'all give me a minute here. I'm just going to look this up. Okay, he was Gospel of Matthew, the ruler of Judea, who orders the massacre of the innocents at the time of the birth of Jesus, although most Herod biographies do not believe that this event occurred, though we know it did. He's still been, I guess, a success. Was Herod Jewish, or was he, I thought he was a Jewish king, but I'm not sure right now.
I don't know.
Hang on a second.
It says he was Roman Jewish client. I mean, Roman Jewish king of Judea is what I see. Herod the Great. Of course, there's different Herods, so.
Okay, I had you muted. Sorry about that. Yeah. So Herod is Jewish. And so the point of, we're going to talk, I'm going to have more of the details in front of me tomorrow night and then Thursday night, because we're going to talk about this. It's amazing that all this is happening. We're connecting with Byron when Byron had, you know, the house in overseeing Bethlehem. And the dream I had with the two witnesses was, you know, in that area, right, where the king was born. So where Jesus mm-hmm. was born and where David was born. And so that's what his whole thing was. Like, it was, what was so wild about that is that he was doing a show the very day I text him and asked him at 11:45 or 11:30 in the morning on Sunday morning. I'm texting him saying, you know, I had this dream about two witnesses. They were in Bethlehem. You know, is this house that you have in Bethlehem, where's it at exactly? So I was asking him that question, right? So I said, I text him that. And then I said, well, you know what? I said, I text him and said, I'm going to call you and leave you a voicemail, because I know you're busy. So I left him a call and leave him a voicemail. He answers the phone. He says, hey, Randy. I'm going like, hey, Byron. Man, I didn't think you'd answer the phone. So I wanted to ask you a specific question about this, because and then when I started telling him about that, then I'm sitting there over the phone basically shouting to him, they're coming to the house to see where the king was born, just like that. And he got so seemingly so stirred up, he says, Randy, I got to tell you this. I can't talk about this on the show I'm doing tonight. He said he's doing a show that night at 7 p.m. on Sunday night. He said, I'm not going to talk about it on the show, but I'll tell you. He said, when I was 13 years old, God told me I would be working with the two witnesses. I said, dude, this is amazing that I'm standing here texting you this information about the two witnesses at a house in Bethlehem, and you guys have been living there for God knows how long. I don't know how long you've been there. And that, you know, what is going on with this? He said, Randy, watch this. I'm actually doing a show tonight on that house in that area, because we're trying to prove that this particular area is the place where David was born and Jesus was born. That's what the whole show's about. I said, you got to be kidding me. It was amazing, yeah, and he will come on the show, and he will come on the show hopefully soon, and confirm all of it that I'm telling you, because, you know, I ain't lying, you know, I ain't gonna lie. I'm telling you, this is exactly what happened, you know. So it's mind-boggling, and then the spirit of Herod, being a Jewish king, is that part of the battle of what he's going through, and I don't understand all of it because we haven't really sat down and talked just about this yet. About the battle he's going through a battle right now of proving that the area of Bethlehem that God showed him, he's at, is the place where Jesus was born and where David was born, and not the place that they have all the tourists go to. He said, that's not it. And he said, this is the place, because he goes through the scripture and everything and proves it. It's mind boggling. And I just happened to be texting him and then, calling him, I couldn't even hold myself back. I said, I've got to talk to him. What am I going to talk to? I don't know. I got to talk to him now. And little did I realize, he was doing a show on TV that night about that very subject, which he knows, you know, nobody, I didn't know that. Nobody knew that, that I know of. And so it was just, you know, so the spirit of Herod is going to be the interference of, even though some of these, some, not all of them, some Jewish leaders are going to know that prophecy talks about the red heifer, that prophecy talks about, you know, all these things. Somehow they're going to try to kill it or stop it. They're not going to be able to do it, but they're going to try.
I didn't know if you were saying there was going to be an attack on the children, or if it was something different, and that's why I was wanting to make sure of what you were saying.
Good question. Yeah, really good question. Yeah, no, it's not about the children. As far as I know, it's not about the children. The spirit of Herod is the basic thing he was trying to stop was the temple itself, who was Jesus. Jesus was going to be the new king, right? The king that was going to be the king forever. Once Jesus became king, the Jews believed that once the Messiah came, there would never be another king. He would be the king forever. In fact, that's what the angel told Mary. But she just didn't mean it like, the angel didn't mean like right now. He meant like in the future. So they all misinterpreted that. And so that's what Herod's going to do. He's going to try to stop the rebuilding of, you know, the connecting of these prophecies of, you know, the red heifer and the red heifer coming in. I mean, they're going to try to stop the building of the temple, basically, is what I'm trying to say. And they're going to try to, they're going to try to do their own thing. And, even though they're no prophet, they're going to know prophecy like Herod did, or he had people around him who could tell him what it meant. So we'll talk about it more tomorrow. I don't want to get into it tomorrow too much right now, because I'll mess it up, but, we're going to talk about it tomorrow night and then Thursday night. And it just so happens this is Christmas time, about Jesus being born in Bethlehem, which is blowing me away.
I was shocked about that, too, because I hadn't thought about that either. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. That's just amazing. Just amazing.
It really is. It's just mind-boggling. Y'all, I can't even believe this is going on. I mean, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, it's amazing how that God tells you years and years before, like with Byron, he told him when he was 13 years old, he's going to help the two witnesses. That's what he said.
Wow.
And, you know, and so, and that's what I've told people here on PGN. I said, you know, my after my dream and vision of them, I've been talking about this, you know, for several years here on PGN, but especially lately, how that, you know, my calling is, you know, to help the two witnesses. Obviously in the dream, the angel hands me the two banners, with the banners mean recognition of who they are and who they represent, and that they're going to war. You know, like when they
what
go to war, you have banners.
What color were the banners, and did they have anything, symbols or anything?
I don't remember any particular color. They were just in the dream. Obviously, when something's not important, it just showed banners. I don't really know. There was no particular, you know, colors showing. Yeah, they were triangular. The only thing that stuck out about them, they were on a pole, and they were triangular, like about something like 14-inch triangle, you know, like 14 by 16 or 14 by 18, something. They weren't big. They weren't big like a big flag. They were like a triangular.
Sort of like what college kids put up in the room or something, you know, from school.
I don't know. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's like a triangular thing, right? Yeah, like
yeah.
That's what it looked like. I mean, you know, why they had to have those? You know, I know absolutely nothing about banners. I know absolutely nothing about flags, really, other than we have them. You know, I don't know what they mean. I had to look it up to see, you know, what they would have to do with. And it basically is. The banners are there for, they're fixing to go to war, and they were there to see where Jesus was born, you know, before they go to war, basically. And I'm there, you know, God had me there, the angel. I never saw what the angel looked like, but he handed me these two banners, and I'm standing there, you know, going like, okay. And then about that time, they pull up to the back of the house, what looked like the back of the house, and they were saying, you know, they got off their horse, and they said, we've come to see where the king was born. With a really holy reverent and respect, and then the dream ends, right? So, Mm-hmm. When I told Byron about that, he said, Randy, you know, he said, when I was 13, God told me that. And he said, you think you could give me one of those, you know, spiritually? And I'm thinking, dude, I would love to. I mean, I have nothing to do. I don't know what to do with them. You know, I wasn't told what to do with them. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. But it does represent something, you know, the authority God has given me to welcome them. And they were looking at me when they said they came to see where the king was born. Like I was running the place or something. Like I'm the manager, or I'm the, you know, I'm working there. Maybe I'm just working and keeping the place clean. I don't know what I'm doing there, but I had the authority. They handed me the flags, you know, the banners.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I was there to greet them. I was there to, you know, for their identification, basically. The banners were for their identification. That's what banners do. They identify what side you're on. You're on the United States side, or are you on, you know, Russia side, you know, Russian flag, you know. And though there was no design on them, I don't remember seeing a design on them. They were just, I saw the shape of them, that was it, and on a pole. And so the authority, the reason I know that I'm going to help them, kind of like Byron's going to, I guess, is that in the dream, you know, the angel, which I believe is Michael, I didn't see him. I don't know if it's him, but I have Michael's come to visit me, you know, in dreams. And and so I believe that it probably was him, because he's the head. He's the one who has the authority from God. He's the head angel over Israel, over Israel, and over God's people. And so I imagine, since he's come to visit me, he's probably going, when the dream, when he pulled up and he rolled down his window and looked at me, you know, his big black wavy hair, and looking at me with that eye, and he never said anything to me, but he just looked at me like, I don't know if this guy can handle flags or not. He doesn't look like much. But I don't know what he was saying. Yeah, I'm just kidding. But he just stared at me. He never said a word. He looked at me with such an intensity, it scared me a little bit. I'm going like, okay, what are you doing here, man?
They learn from us, watching us, the Bible says.
I don't know. I don't know. He's just staring at me.
I'll find that scripture. I'll see if I can find that scripture and send it to you, because they learn from us, from watching us. I know there's a scripture that says that. I just can't think of what it is.
All right. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So I don't understand all that, but and then I had another experience with it in the natural realm that scared me even more. I had more fear on that one, the reverential fear, because I knew he was watching me. You know, that was the thing about it. I knew Michael was watching me, not like in a bad way, but in a reverential way. Like, you know, you better keep yourself straight, boy. Like that. Like, that's how I felt. Like, you better keep yourself right and, you know, like, stay pure before God. And that's kind of what was going on. And that's what I felt, though I don't know. Nobody ever said anything to me. But, you know, you feel things. Like, you know, keep your mind right. Keep your heart right. Don't put any, you know, don't, when I talk about making God jealous, that's what I'm talking about. Like, don't make God jealous. You know, keep your heart right, meaning, you know, don't make God jealous. If you make God jealous, it's just not a good thing. And so that was kind of the gist of it. And so when the angel, and I did not see who the angel was in the dream, but the two witnesses, but when he handed me the two banners, I'm guessing that it was probably Michael, but I don't have a clue.
Wow, that's. I would love to see an angel. I just love to see. Something.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything from God. Anything from God, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Anything from the heavens. Who wouldn't want to see an angel? I mean, you have to be deaf, dumb, and stupid not to want to see, you know, some of the beings that God made that are supernatural. That's just, you know, given. So but Jesus made them all. All right, very good tonight. Thank you so much, Cynthia. I can talk about this stuff. Everybody knows Mondays and Tuesdays are not to talk, you know, to people. I just talk about whatever. We talk about whatever. So I could go on and on about this. The main thing in that dream that's been revealing to me the last few days, since all this stuff's been happening, is that stuff I've never seen before. Like I share with you that when he handed me those two banners, those two flags, the two banners on the pole, the flags on the pole, two of them, you know, I realized that he was giving me the approval to, you know, greet them. And, you know, because these are holy men of God. It's like, you know, I'm going like, why me? You know, because I mean, this doesn't make any sense. I don't even know anything about these guys as far as, you know, literal, you know, I've never had experience with them before. They showed up with Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration, you know, Moses and Elijah. I don't know if that other guy was Moses or not. I don't know who he was, but I know one of them was Elijah for sure. There's no question about that. And the other one could have been Moses or Enoch, or I really don't know. God never showed me who he was. And I'm not going to say something I don't know, but it's, he gave me the authority to help him or something. And that's why I tell people, like Byron told me, I'm going to help him somehow or another.
I know. When I was listening to you last night, learning all this, I was like, oh my goodness. I said, Lord, why have you blessed me enough to be connected to this?
Me too.
I just don't understand it at all. And
I feel the same way. Well, that's exactly how I feel. I feel the same way exactly. Like, why? You know, what, like, why did Michael show up, you know, for me? I mean, why did, you know, he told me years ago this stuff's going to happen, and I just kind of like go, okay, whatever you say, I believe it, but help my unbelief, you know. My unbelief is more about that I know me. I know me, you know, just like you know you. You know, it's humbling.
Right. It is. Very much so. You just don't understand. I'm just amazed. But he uses the foolish things to confound the wise. It's the only thing I could come up with, you know.
That's my the theme of my life. I can relate, yeah. That's the theme of my life with God is like, you know, when the angel came and spoke into my ear, which I never saw him either, but he spoke in my ear like an innocent child would talk, and he whispered it like it was a secret or something, you know. There's a massive merger coming. He whispered it like there's a massive merger coming, a whisper. Like an innocent child, you know, a little kid whispers in the ear, like, Mommy, Daddy didn't make me pancakes this morning. Can you talk to him? You know, something like that. It's kind of like it was a whispering in my ear, you know, kind of a whisper like it was a secret, you know.
Yeah.
And so that was in 2005, and that very thing connected me to everything I'm connected to now. That's what connected me was that, you know, because from that day on, I was connected without doing anything, without knowing anything, without, you know, anything. There was no reason for it. It's just when the angel spoke those words to me, who would ever thought that there's a massive merger coming would connect me to this whole end time thing. Makes no sense at all.
Yeah. That voice, I can relate. When my husband passed away, right when he passed away, I just kept him, saving him, bringing him back to him over and over. I was just like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I got interrupted by the sweetest voice I've ever heard in my life, a little voice like that saying, I told you and thy house. And I'm like, oh,
wow.
Yes, dear Lord, you did. And it was just such a precious, precious voice.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yeah. That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. That's the way it was. It was like an innocent child, the sweetest thing, you know, the sweetest voice, you know, it was just pure innocence. That's what, so I think that's what's the sweet, when I say sweet, it was like purely innocent, like an innocent child. That's the only way I could describe it. And plus he was whispering in my ear, which just made it more like, kind of like a child, you know, like a child, you know, telling me a secret. I knew it was pretty cool. All right.
Aww.
Anything else? I'm going to move on a little bit here and take some of the callers, see what's going on.
Just
Thank
the unspoken
you.
Prayer.
Okay. All right. I'll do that. All right. You're welcome. Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for our friends that help us, our friends that pray for us, I think our friends that are part of what we're doing. God, we just thank you for them. We lift them up before you, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you're crowning this PGN people, our network, with the people that have been with us for so long, in different ways, that you are crowning them with your favor, God. And we just thank you, Lord, you're crowning this with this the privilege and the honor of being birthed at such a time as this. Just like Esther was born, you know, Queen Esther was born. And all of a sudden, you know, what happened with her was the same what's happening with us. It's like all of a sudden we're being put in a position that, though I've known it for years, you know, when it actually starts happening, it's just shocking to actually literally watch it happen before your eyes. And so that thing that Esther had to feel was like, wow, I always feel like God told me, you know, I mean, I don't know what she thought, but you know, she probably felt like something great was going to happen to her. She just didn't know what it was, you know. Like a lot of us feel that. And I thank you, Lord, that was like Queen Esther probably that you all of a sudden you start bringing to pass things, and she was a queen. She was the new queen of a king, and she was bold and strong and loved God. And the beauty of all that information is just absolutely glorious. And in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for the unspoken prayer request, God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you show your care to Cynthia and her family, God, as the provider, as the giver, as a giver of life, as a protector, God, and as a blesser in Jesus' name. Amen. And the keeper of your things in her life. The keeper of your things in her life, God. You are the keeper of your things. If it's not your thing, you don't keep it. If it's not your thing, you're not responsible for it. But when it's your thing, when it's been given by you, and we keep it into your hands, like Abraham did with Isaac, when he kept Isaac in the hands of God by giving him to God, that you watch over it, you keep it, and you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, Cynthia. All right. 402-650. Who want to talk to this one, please?
Hey, Randy. It's John from Omaha.
Hey, John. All right. Pray for you, John. Thank you for being with us. All right. Thank you, Lord, for John tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for the calculations, that calculating, you know, begin to calculate, begin to, you know, add up things and let God show you what to add up in your mind, going this blessing with that blessing, that word with this word, this bit of thing going on with that bit of thing. God, that we can see that you're doing something, that you're up to things, you're building a testimony, you're building something. When God builds something, it can't be torn down. When God builds something, the devil can't tear it apart. When God starts to build a testimony, when God starts to build something in your life, nobody can tear that down. You know, only we can, in a sense. And sometimes God even spares us of that, keeps us from doing it. Sometimes we have issues and troubles and times where we go through problems. He keeps us from messing with himself. He protects it himself until we get, you know, back on track again, whatever that is. And then we begin to walk in that new place, and he adds to us and blesses us and shows us his blessing, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for my brother, God, that you protect him, watch him, and keep over him, and keep watching over him, and let him know that you are watching over him, that you're protecting him, keeping him. And that things are building here, things are building there. He's going to connect the puzzle pieces, Father, and he'll see the big picture and begin to have another level of faith that will expand his mind to open up the door for the big blessings, the things that you want to do. That when we're faithful with a little bit, then we can be trusted with a lot. We thank you for that little of John. More and more show him how to be faithful with the little bit you've given him, God. And so you can trust him with a lot. Amen. Like happened with Joseph. All right, John, what's going on tonight? How are you there in Omaha?
Oh, it's very, very cold up here.
Really? Like how
cold? We've got that. Oh, it's been in single digits today, feeling like negative single digits, and it's going to get colder here over the next few days. Got a potential blizzard storm coming in tomorrow evening into Thursday. So it's an eventful week. Melly had her wrist surgery last Friday, and that actually went better than they were expecting.
Great.
So ended up only being one that had a partial tear. It was only like a grade 2 injury, so they were able to get that cleaned up. They were, you know, going into it with the mindset, you know, worst case scenario, it was two tendons fully torn. And so instead of like a 2-hour surgery, it ended up only being less than 20 minutes. So they're hopeful it's going to be a quick recovery for it as well. So we're
is awesome.
A long birthday.
Oh yeah. Oh, your birthday's today?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Well, happy birthday to my brother.
Call it.
That's all I got, man. You don't want to hear anything else. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Wow. How old are you, 27 or 28?
35.
35, I was close. Not that close, actually. But
give or take a couple.
Anyway, yeah. I was trying to keep you young, actually, is what I was trying to do. Awesome.
Well, that's why I keep trying to grow up and beard, you know, that the salt and pepper ages me enough.
Oh. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, I never had a real good beard. I mean, I have a little bit of a beard, but not a great one. But as you get older, it seems like it kind of starts filling in some, but who knows?
Yeah. But if you could pray over Melly's friend Elisa.
Okay.
I know
Elisa.
She would probably greatly appreciate it. Elisa, yes.
All right. Yeah. Let's do that here in a second here. Elisa. All right. Let's pray for Elisa tonight, God. And thank you, Jesus. Peace. All right, thank you, Lord, for Elisa tonight. God, we thank you. I'm going to meet you if I want to do that. Thank you, Lord, for Elisa. We thank you, Lord, for the power. Show Elisa your power, that you are powerful, that you are – all we need to do is come in agreement with God. God is just looking for people, Elisa, to come in agreement with him. You know, find out in his word what he does and come into agreement with it. He will take you at whatever level you're at. No matter where you think you're at some low level where, you know, it doesn't matter what level you're at. God always – helps us whatever level we are. It's like any parent would help a child. Any parent would help a child, but they're in the third grade or they're graduating from high school. They know how to approach them at the level they're at and talk to them like that. So does God. He takes us where we're at, and he teaches us and grows us. And I thank you, Lord, for teaching Elisa how to know you, how to find you in new ways at all times, that you do accept her where she's at, no matter what she thinks of herself. Good, bad, or ugly, immature, very mature, whatever it is, you reach her right where she's at, God. And so we thank you for that, Jesus. We don't have to become greater to get God's attention. He loves us and receives us exactly where we are, and then begins to build us up and lead us to new places, teaches us how to love him and walk with him. And in Jesus' name, I thank you for Elisa, God, that you've shown her how to take the information that she gets and process it through her decisions, through the Word of God, through what she knows of God, and start teaching her how to process things through the way God thinks. And how does God think? Through his Word. Amen. So in Jesus' name, all right, open her up to that, God. All right. Anything else, John? What's going on? What do you think about all this crazy stuff we're talking about the end times? Is that something you're in on or no?
You know, I've always had this gut instinct, even since I was younger, that I was basically born into the end times.
Really? Awesome.
And, you know, and from time to time, it's been a bit of a fear as well. In that,
right, exactly.
You know, there's so many experiences,
right,
potentially long. you know, there's so many opportunities getting cut off potentially. And then just, you know, the transition, you know.
Cool.
It's overwhelming. It's a great burden in a way.
Right. It's really cool. Well, I think when you're born in a time that is that time, you know, you have what it takes. God gives you what it takes to do whatever you got to do, you know. And so that helps take away some of the fear. You know, I have a fear. I have the same thing. I have a fear. I don't know if it's always the reverential fear of all of God, and I hope it is. You know, I believe that it is most of the time. But, you know, I have fears of insecurity. Can I do this, you know? Can I do what you called me to do, God? I hope I can, you know. And maybe that's the way he likes us. He likes us to be like that, like we don't become arrogant and self-sufficient maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because at that point, then we have to rely on his grace to get us through it.
Yeah.
It's just that strength.
Right. And who does that remind us of? Not only, you know, the more I think about, of course, Paul said that very thing, about what you're saying. He was strong. He was a very strong person.
Mm-hmm.
He knew the law. He was a good Pharisee. In other words, he was a person who, you know, wasn't a hypocrite. He lived by the law the best he could. And yet, at the same time, when he got saved, God had to give him a thorn in the flesh, but I believe was to, you know, weaken him so that he wouldn't depend on himself, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, because he was very knowledgeable, very smart, been to the best schools, the whole thing. And so, you know, it's the opposite of me, actually, you know, but we can all have in our own selves our own arrogance and our own pride and our own, you know, we think we can do this, you know, and we think that we don't even see it. We don't know that it's there until God shows us. And then he helps you to, mm-hmm. like with Paul, he helped Paul to, he kept asking God, deliver me from this thing. Deliver me. Three times he prayed. I think when Paul prayed, he didn't mm-hmm. whisper a little prayer at dinner. You know, he really prayed, you know, three times. And God said, I'm not going to get rid of that. Yeah, you know, I'm going to do it. You're going to get arrogant because you got so much information that I'm going to have to make sure I keep you humble so you don't mess up stuff. And so, mm-hmm. but some of us who, I mean, anybody can become self-sufficient and arrogant, I think, at any time. I don't care how smart you are or how, quote, you know, not smart you are. So we have to maintain the spirit of humility and knowing that without God, we can't do anything.
Mm-hmm. That's that natural tendency towards pride.
I think so. I do. I mean, God has opened me up to that and shown me, you know, Randy, that's pride. That's pride. That's pride. I'm going, what? That's pride? God, I'm not going to have anything left over here. What are we doing? I'm going to have nothing. He said, yeah, I want you to be poor in the pride area. I'm going like, okay, I see what you're saying. And so, yeah, literally. And then staying that way. Because when God starts blessing you, when Paul started getting information from heaven, he starts writing what was going to be, you know, a lot of the New Testament, you know, and the revelation that he got. They even accused him of being crazy because he had so much revelation. So he was a big thinker, but when the Holy Spirit got on him, he became even a bigger thinker, just in a different way. And so he had to have something there to keep him humble, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, his whole conversion was a lens shift in just the way that he was looking at things. Because his worldview prior to the conversion, you know, had a lot of that foundation, but it was after the lens shift where he saw things clearly, you know, that everything kind of came into a clear focus for him, that everything got started to be applied properly.
Right. Wow. Good. Good way of saying it. He said it better than I did. Very good, John. Yeah, I think that's right. I think he just, you know, God chose him because he already had that foundation of the law. And then the Holy Spirit could knock him off his horse. Of course, and then he got prophesied to by Ananias that he was going to suffer much but be used greatly, which happened to be a right on word, by the way. And so he started seeing things through the Holy Spirit, through the cross, that once he saw Jesus as the Messiah, then he could take the law that he knew and translate that to the Messiah. You know, I think that's why God used him, because he knew the law. He memorized the law. You know, those guys memorized the law. Mm-hmm. He was a good one. He was a very smart one. He was a high thinker, and he understood the law. So when he started applying Christ to every scripture that referred to the Messiah in one way or the other, he got an insight that a lot of people didn't have.
Similar to, in ways, if you think about it, I can't remember his name offhand at the moment. It escapes me, but I remember they worked for the Chicago Tribune, and he did that article where he attempted to use all of his journalism skills and such, his investigative skills, to try and prove that, you know, Christ didn't exist and such, and ended up finding all of the different facts prove that Christ, you know, did indeed live and everything, and, you know, all of the supporting evidence and everything, in ways kind of the very things that were the foundation of, you know, his career and everything, is what led him to Christ as well, and to become such a...
I remember that. Yeah, I can't think of the guy's name either, but maybe somebody out there can remember it. But, yeah, that was pretty amazing. So he kind of logically
Strobel?
Thought things through. Huh?
Was it Lee Strobel, maybe? No.
It could have been. Lee Strobel is a very... he's one of those kind of guys, I think, but I'm not sure. I don't think
it was.
It could have been.
I can't remember if that was him or if that was the pastor of my grandparents' church, but besides the point. Anyways.
Yeah, Lee Strobel's, yeah, very well known guy. Yeah, very, very smart guy, when I remember. I can't remember a lot about him, but yeah. So I don't think it was him. It might have been. I think it was somebody else, but if I heard the name, I'd probably remember it. But, yeah, he did research to prove that Christ wasn't Christ, that Jesus, that the Christians were, you know, deceived. And then he found out that through his honest research, you know, we need more of that, man. We need a lot more of that going on. Honest, we need people that are out there in the media to do the same thing. You look for the truth instead of what fits in with what they want, you know. We are so robbed of that right now. It's amazing. You know, back in the days when we had people in the media that were true analysts, they analyzed things, you know, through and thought, even if they disagree with it, they would tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
God help us with that one.
Yeah, modern apologetics.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, nobody sent me that name yet. I figured somebody would probably Google that and try to find that, but it's a little harder to find than we think. But yeah, I'm, you know, the thing that's shocking to me, John, is to find out, you know, the way God's connected me to all this stuff. I mean, you know, it's just shocking. I'm, you know,
well, the one thing that I've, the one thing that I've kind of been in ways coming to terms with is, you know, especially over the past few years, past decade, for instance, is that there's been such a journey in, you know, where God is taking me. Because, you know, 20 years ago, if you would have asked me, hey, you know, would you think that you had ever worked for Cisco? You know, this big international enterprise networking company, right? A company that my grandfather used to kind of work with and that he had a great amount of respect for. Never would have thought that I would have been working. And then if you'd, you know, asked me even, you know, 20 years ago, hey, you know, that search engine company, Google, that's really blowing up and stuff, you know, you think you'd ever work for them? No. my mind even 10 years ago. And, you know, that's where I'm at now.
Right.
So it's just like that. You would never imagine that you would be in contact with some of the people that you've been in contact, I'm sure. Some people that, you know, you haven't been able to even tell us who you've been in contact with even sometimes. And it's just one of those things where if that's what he's got planned out, that's the road that you're walking down.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and John, I am so regular. I am so regular. It's not even funny. You know, it's like I'm the least in my family of, you know, athletics was the only thing I did that I did really good. That's the only thing that I excelled in probably more than anybody. But other than that, everything else was just down the tubes, you know, and relationships, just, you know, school, you know, the whole thing. It was just like a crash and burn thing. And because I didn't care about it. I just didn't care about it until I got saved. And then when I got saved, I loved learning. I wanted to learn. I craved learning. So then everything changed. I found out that I wasn't quite as dumb as I thought I was. But God just wanted me to have – he wanted to get me, you know, at the place where I was poor, where I knew, you know, I couldn't learn. And then all of a sudden I found that he could teach me the way that I could learn. You know, and then when I started learning, I started realizing – and I started hanging around people, and they're going like, how did you get all that? I said, get all what? I didn't even know what they were talking about. How did you get all that information? How did you do it? I said, what? What are you talking about? And then, you know, I realized, oh, my gosh, God has just been doing a number on my brain, and which was just shocking to everybody that knew me, you know. It was just the opposite of me. And so it just shows you that God can take you and do something with you, and you don't even know it's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We'll,
all right. Well, I'm going to.
Yeah. And,
well, what?
You know, you've been with people, you've been friends with ours for how long? For several years.
Oof. I think one of the few first back in 2009-ish at least. So yeah, over a decade, off and on.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah, that's been a while. I remember we used to talk to you about working at where you used to work, some chicken place or something. I think that's what it was.
Oh yeah, even before then, and around 2008, I would have been, I think I would have been working at Subway, maybe. Yeah.
No, we didn't start doing PGN until 2009, 2010, so had to be after that. But
yeah. Well, even then,
somewhere
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
yeah,
I was doing Subway around then, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I love Subway, by the way. I love to go to Subway. If their meats were a little bit cleaner and better, I would probably go there more often. But I love those fresh veggies. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I love that with the bit of mayonnaise, mustard mayonnaise. Oh, yeah. I could just eat
that. Yeah, it
traps
my hide that they're really bad about portions around here. They overload portions, and it kind of drives me nuts. You know, having worked there for so long, portion control is a big thing. So,
you mean they put too much on?
Oh yeah, yeah. You ask for
double.
Say like olives, for instance, and they'll grab like a handful of it. When you know, technically, it's like 3 to 6 olives per 6 inch is what it's supposed to be. So,
yeah. I know. I tell them I always get a double meat, you know, chicken breast. I get chicken breast, double meat, and every time now. And,
oh yeah.
Man, they just not everybody, but most of the times lately, this place down here, they just load it up. Like I said, I think you just put triple on there. I think I just wanted double. They said, no, that's double. I'm going like, okay, bring it on. I love it. And it sure is good.
Yep.
and I love, give me some gluten-free. I usually bring it home, get me some gluten-free bread, and just, you know, toast some gluten-free bread, and man, I just, oh man. Oh, I got to go talking, but I'm getting hungry. I love this stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, let's, whatever, so anything you want to share, anything going on, anything, it's kind of interesting. You feel like you had a kind of call to the end times. That's kind of cool to find out. I didn't know that about you.
Not that I can really think of at the moment, but, you know, definitely just be praying for us up here that we stay warm and hopefully that the power stays on as well, that we don't have too much power.
Yeah.
With as cold as it's going to get, it's going to be dangerous for some people. So,
okay.
But other than that, you know, give Julie a hug for me like usual, and you know, hope you guys have a great Christmas with the family and everyone.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Hang on just a second. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. We're going to pray for John. Thank you, John. We'll talk to you later. Thanks. Good talking to you. All right. Thank you both for John tonight. God, we just thank you for his job, what he's doing. We thank you, Lord, for teaching him, training him, what you want him to learn there while he's there, what's going on with that. Just sometimes we just get into places and we start learning things, and we don't realize that our brain is being trained, you know, for new things in the future. And I thank you, Lord, for this whole new, this realm of learning and growing and his brain going places and opening up doors in his brain. Sometimes God, not put us in a job, when he puts us in a situation, when he puts me in the ministry, you know, and doing the particular things that I did, like I got very involved in computer stuff back in when the internet just first started. I learned how to build my own website and started selling, you know, I had vitamins and different, I had them made up and manufactured, and you know, I started doing all that stuff. Just kind of, so it's my brain wanted to learn, wanted to do all that stuff. So I started expanding, and God put me in places where I was, you know, didn't realize, but I was being prepared for the future, you know, of internet and, you know, the whole thing. And now all I do is internet stuff just about. So, it's connecting me to, you know, people I need to connect to, the whole thing. I didn't realize that all that stuff is preparing me for what I'm doing now. So I thank you, Lord, for John, that all the things he's doing now, that he may not even realize that you're preparing him for the future, God, of what he's going to be doing in the future, and that his brain is being trained. You got to get that brain training. Our brain's going to be trained, right? Brain train, like gravy train, brain train. Thank you for that brain train, God, that you will help him in that, let him grow in that, learn in that, and let his brain grow and open up to the things that you will even use in the future for him, Father. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. And bless his wife, God. Bless his family. Bless his situation in Jesus' name. Open up their hearts, God, to you at deeper levels, higher levels, the height and length and the width and the breadth of the love of God, that you're always opening us up to your love, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Amen. And toward the end times. The end times is going to be the revelation of Jesus like never. That's what the book of Revelation is about. It's about the revealing of Christ. Amen. It's about him. Everything's about him. We thank you for that, Jesus. Amen. All right. God bless you, my brother. All right. 409-8989. You want to talk to Ruth John, please?
Hi, this is Haley from Texas.
Haley from Houston?
Yes. Yes. By Houston.
Houston area.
A couple hours away.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right, Haley, good to have you tonight. All right, haven't talked to you. Let's pray for you. I'm going to mute you for a second. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Haley, from Houston in the Houston area. Thank you, Lord, for Haley, God. We thank you, Lord, for that her succumbing to those things that you want her to succumb to yield to bond with. You're bonding her. You're allowing her to bond with thoughts and processes and information. We bond with information. We're made for certain kinds of information. When you have a call in your life, or God is preparing you for something, like with me, he started bonding me with information and connecting me with information that I was made for, that I was created for. and then begin to develop it and create it and use it and multiply in her mind. God, I thank you for that creative area in her mind. God, is that you're bonding her with information and with the people that she needs in her life to grow her with in relationship, to grow her in friendship, to grow her in, you know, relationship with people and with God. You know, every time you deal with a human being, you better have God on with you, because, you know, you're going to have to be trying to figure out some stuff. And only God can figure out people. That's for sure. He does know people. That's for sure. So when we bond with him and we bond with people, we need God to help us understand how to bond with him correctly. You know, how to get, he gives us information. God is the information. In other words, he knows all things. He knows all things. That's information. And we thank the Lord for giving her information, how to deal and how to train her, herself in that bonding and with information from God, with information from people, and all the things that she's bonding toward, connecting to, information-wise for her future, the learning, the skills that you put in her, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right, Haley, how are you doing, girl? It's been awesome to talk to you. Good to hear from you tonight.
Yeah, it's I'm doing pretty good. I am trying to grow, kind of like what you're saying. Been going to church groups and trying to get better with people at work and
great.
At church. So yeah,
that's
it's
a big thing.
Still struggle. Yeah,
people are a big thing.
Yes, they are. Sometimes you get your crazy ones, but yeah, it's kind of a struggle. I'm still have a bit of social anxiety, so it's kind of hard.
Yep.
But I'm trying to get through that.
Right. And I'm sure that's why I got that information for you tonight. It's like God is, you know, I mean, I don't remember ever using the word bonding to information, you know, like bonding to people and bonding with information, that if you have anybody who has a relationship with people, better have God with them, because he understands people. He'll give you information. You know, I don't say that often. I don't remember ever saying it really like that. That's pretty cool. So he's really going to teach you and show you. That's what it sounds like to me, what I'm hearing. Awesome.
Yeah, I could definitely use that, because sometimes it's a little bit discouraging. It's like, just kind of want to avoid people for a little bit, but I don't want to do that because I want to, you know, can't show God's love that way. So.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. So I like working. It gives me a reason to talk to people, and sometimes I can tell it makes a difference just reaching out to people, and they seem to really appreciate it. Some of them.
Yeah.
So,
that is so awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, learning how to connect. The thing with people is, once you connect with them, once you find out how to connect with people, it took me years, Katie. I hope you do it faster than I did. I was slow. I was the most non-social person. Wanted to be social, but just couldn't be. You know, for some reason, I felt insecure. I felt like, you know, what do I got? What do I know? I'm not good with people. And to the point now, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I love, you know, like when I go to the gym, I don't get out a whole lot. But when I get out, you know, I mean, I find myself making friends wherever I go. And that didn't used to be the case at all. I just got by with what I could and, you know, go home and try always be friendly. But that was it. Friendly was about it. Hey, how you doing? Good. Don't talk to me about it. Hey, okay, see you. Nice to see you. See you there tomorrow. That was about it. Now it's like I walk into a place and they can't shut me up, you know. And we have fun, and, you know, that's never been me before, never.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that before, and it's encouraging to see, because now I got you. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a really,
good
thing.
Yeah, God's brought me through a lot, because before I couldn't even look people in the eye or like respond to them if they talk to me, but it definitely brought me a long way. So
it doesn't
feel different.
Yeah, and you learn to develop it. You learn how to bond. You learn how to connect. You learn how to, you know, and I can't say, I can't even tell you how I learned it. I can't tell you how I learned it. All I know is that somehow something started breaking loose in me, and I just started, you know, enjoying people, probably doing PGN, you know, and talking to people and just being friends with people I've never met before and feel like I'm their best. I feel like, you know, I'm friends with them, even though I don't know them. That kind of developed it a little bit, I think. And so God will bring things, you know, to help develop those areas.
All right. Well, that's encouraging. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
I feel like the anxiety's been like a little bit slower to get rid of, but I remember with the depression I grew up with, that just like one day kind of just fell off. Then I realized I wasn't struggling with that anymore, so.
Really? When did all that happen? Do you know about the timing, the last 2 years or what?
I think I kind of noticed it when I was 22. It was like 6 years ago.
Okay.
I think it happened whenever I started talking to you, which was in like 2014.
Oh, okay.
Or some, I don't know, something like that.
I remember you being really just, you know, I don't know what the word was, but like you were struggling, you know, you were just like, and then I talked to you, you know, I find different times I talked to you. I just remember different seasons when you would call in. I'm thinking, this girl, something's going on with this. Really cool. I could tell that you had changed. It was really awesome.
Yeah, thanks. I'm pretty sure your show's helped a lot with that.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, anytime you call into a radio show or something and, you know, people are listening to you, I don't know about you, but I used to be so shy. I couldn't even, you know, you heard me talk about this before, I think, but in high school, Haley, I couldn't even read a report in front of people. That's how shy I was, mm-hmm. or how whatever you want to call it was. I mean, I literally could not do it. It was something in me. I just couldn't. I don't know why I couldn't. I just couldn't do it because people were looking at me, you know, and I just would like go, you know, I don't know. I would freak out a little bit. And then when I found out when I got saved, I kept thinking, you know, man, I'd like to preach the gospel, but I can't because I can't talk in front of people, right? That's what I thought. And little by little, God says, you know, I'm going to, because Moses stuttered, you know, Moses stuttered. So he said, no, God, you know, I'm not going to do this without some help because I stutter or I can't speak. And Paul the Apostle really was a lot the same way. He couldn't talk very well either, but a very good speaker. And so Moses said, you know, bring me some help. And God finally got upset. Okay, he's coming, you know. And he sent somebody to help him. So it's like people like you and me, man, we got some callings in our life, girl. we gotta get it.
Yeah, sure. Well, thanks for that. Yeah, I want to tell you, this was about a couple months ago, but I went back and listened to one of the other nights I spoke with you, and I can't remember if it was a year or 2 years ago, but I started from the beginning. I was listening to the message you were, like you normally talk about, and I kind of felt like it was applying to me, and so I was listening, and you were saying that, I think what you were talking about was like how God will make a way for you even when you don't feel ready. He just kind of gently guides you along until you get to that point. And I felt like it was for me, and like to a point. And you kept talking, and you were saying someone was really getting this tonight, and then like later you said that someone's name is being changed from Haley to Holy, and I was like, oh, I guess that's it. So
I said Haley to Holy?
Yeah, someone's name is being changed.
I love
that. Yeah, so I thought that, wanted to share that because that was
really incredible to me.
You happen to be listening to that. I do kind of remember something like that. I couldn't tell you what was said, but I do remember that from Haley to Holy, and I do remember saying that, but I wasn't actually talking to you. I was just like ministering the word or something, right? I was like before I start talking to people where I'm talking about stuff. Is that what you're talking about?
Right. Yes. And that was the night I called in. And so I was like maybe the first or second caller to talk to you. So that first time it took me by surprise, and then it took me by surprise again a couple months ago because I wasn't expecting it to be that night and kind of forgot about it.
I love that. That is awesome. See, what you tell me when you say that, Haley, is I'm going like, because I don't know, I didn't know you were listening. I don't even know why I said that exactly, why that came out of my mouth. But what it tells me is that Jesus is speaking through me to help one of his little baby, what I call baby dolls, one of his baby dolls. I call them baby dolls. One of his children, one of his, kids or whatever, one of his family, somebody's family. He's reaching out to them. And so, you know what, that just makes me feel better about what I do than when it does when I give these end time prophecy. That right there makes me happier than anything. Saying that, you tell me that stuff right there. You don't know what that makes me feel like. It's amazing. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Just like,
yeah.
It's all these years, and it's always just been encouraging, spot on.
Oh, that's sweet, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just give you, I don't know how I'm doing this, Haley, so hang on a second. Lord, I just love you for loving Haley. I love you for that, Jesus, that you love Haley, you love your people, you love her, you express your love to her, Jesus, in a very personal way. You leave the 99 and go to one. That one person can be having, everything can be going great, everything can be going wrong. It doesn't matter what it is. It's the fact that you're just reaching out to them and talking to them. Lord, I just love you for loving her. I love you for showing your love to her, God, in a very special way, Jesus. That really makes me love you more, Jesus. It really does. And I just thank you for that. Thank you for Haley. Lord, I just love her in the spirit. Love her as your child, as your baby doll, I think that's what Jesus calls them. I mean, I have no proof of it, but many times I want to say to certain people, the baby doll, your baby doll, like very precious, somebody he's looking over and watching over. And Haley, you draw that out of him, man. It's amazing how you do that. I feel it right now. It's amazing, powerful. You just draw that right out of Jesus. His love, his compassion, his I love you kind of a thing. It makes me want to, almost like weep over that. I love it. Wow. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just had to just tell you. I have to. The reason I do that is I'm telling you how I'm feeling. And as a prophet, as a servant of God, how I'm feeling is what God is feeling, towards you. And just saying in words where it's like him talking to you, So I had to let him do that. Awesome.
Wow, that's so beautiful. And just, like, listening to you talk to others and just seeing, like, the love of God just being shown, it just blows my mind.
Well, mine too. It's
pretty hard to comprehend.
Yeah, exactly. That is the perfect word, to comprehend. Can't comprehend it. It's just, yeah, that's our God. And I tell you, wow, thank you, Jesus. So glad you called tonight. Thank you for calling in and making my night tonight. This is, really, really cool.
Yeah. Sorry, I need to call in more. It's just, it's hard to process sometimes. Just like, I have to prepare myself, about to hear from, God himself, how do I, again, comprehend that? But
yeah. Well, believe me, I understand it completely. I've told you my people heard my story. They think I'm the most bold, talkative, you know, whatever. I said, no, you don't understand. You know, I used to just like, I was the quiet person, you know, and I couldn't express myself. I wanted to. I couldn't. I didn't know how. I had all this passion locked up within me, and I couldn't let it out for some reason. I couldn't explain why. And I don't know. I don't know if God just saved it all for him. I'm not really sure. But anyway, now that's all I do is I tell his passion, the way he feels toward people. And that's really what one of the realms of the prophetic is for me. It's just simply when I'm talking to people, I'm telling them how I feel. They don't always say it. That's what I'm doing. And it just so happens that what I'm feeling is what God is feeling through me to them. You know, it's just mind-boggling how simple it is.
Yeah, well, that's pretty encouraging. I can tell I don't feel like the same person as I used to be. Like, growing up, I was kind of like a selective mute, really. But my personality has changed quite a bit. And like sometimes I'm actually even funny now. So that's new to me.
I love it. I love that. That's amazing. I know. I'm the same way. I tell people, I used to talk about this all the time on the show. I don't know if you ever heard me talk about this, but they have these personalities, Christian personality, you know, tests that you take. And you take it, and you're a sanguine, or I can't remember all the name of them all right now, but I haven't done them in a long time. But you know, I tell people, I said, you know, when the Holy Spirit changes you, you know, you're going to take that personality test 3 or 4 years later after God changes you, and you're going to go back and say, you know, man, my personality changed, and I'm not the same person, you know. And literally I've seen that where, you know, you fill out the information on those questions in a whole different way. Like right now when I answer those questions, if I'd answered them, you know, 20 years ago, they'd have been completely different answers than they are now, would be now, are now. You know, it's like, because they're trying to find out what kind of personality you have, right? That's the whole purpose of the test, and they're very, pretty good at what I understand. And like now, I'm not even the same person at all. Not even close. The people,
yeah,
I had
it's
friends
weird.
Who... No, go ahead. What? Say it again?
And it's weird to, like, think back and remember how I used to be, and it's weird.
Yeah, it is. It is. I remember, I've told this story a few times. My dad and I were in my hometown, right, where I don't live anymore, of course, and in Farwell, Texas. We were driving around the truck, and all of a sudden, one of my old schoolmates pulled up in the car and said, "Hey, Fred, is that Randy?" And he goes, "Yeah, I used to date this girl back in high school. You know, we used to walk from school together, and, you know, we were just like in eighth grade, something like that, young, you know, ninth grade maybe, young." And her name was Terry Edwards, and I never forget her. And because I've been saved for quite a while by then, she hadn't seen me in a long time. So she comes over to the car, right, and she's looking in, and she's looking at me, and she literally, Haley, and I'm not exaggerating, she literally, like almost panicked, like, she looked at me, and she goes, "I don't even know who you are." And it came out right out of her mouth. My dad was like going, "What, this is Randy." No, this like, that's not Randy. I was so different, Haley, literally, that the people that knew me in high school look at me now and like going, "We don't even know who you are." And that's literally saying that. That just shows you how much God changed me. And it's not because I was so whatever, you know, he just did it somehow. I don't even understand how he did it.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Sometimes it seems like a slow process, but I mean, it seemed to help my brother have faith, because before, a few years ago, he was kind of like about, you know, he wasn't sure about God, but he told me later that he saw me changing, and he's like, "Huh, she might be onto something." And then now his faith has really raised up, and like he knows about you, and I tell him and my mom like the stuff I hear sometimes, like so their faith has really grown a lot too.
Girl, that's the best testimony you can have. That is the best testimony you can have. That your brother, I mean, when family members, I know what, that kind of happened to me a little bit when I first got saved. You know, I was like into drugs and, you know, drinking. I was a real heathen, you know, 20 years old, 19, 20, from the time I got saved when I was 20. So the time, you know, the years before that, I was like a, you know, we did all this stuff together all the time. My brother-in-law, my sister, we all went out, you know, did stuff. And it's like when I got saved, you know, they thought it wouldn't last. And when they saw the change in my personality and the change in the glow of my face and my eyes, they literally came to me and they said, "Would you please pray for me?" You know, Haley, I was so shocked because I didn't know that was going on in their heart. I did not know that. I was like, you want what? And I tell you, when your family says that to you, girl, that's huge. That is huge in my opinion, my book. So congratulations mm-hmm. on that. You cannot beat that testimony at all.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see because now, like before, it wasn't as much, but now they'll talk about, you know, God, and we've seen like some, like God's provision in just like pretty amazing ways and just like kind of back to back and just like grows their faith more. So
wow.
Cool to see.
Absolutely. That's like God manifesting himself in it, you know, especially when it comes to provision. And you said back to back, that's usually him trying to really show off, mm-hmm. you know. Like, I really like you.
Yes, like, like one, my mom was sick like 1 week recently and lost like say 140 from that. And a few days later, someone asked her to come like load the dishwasher for like $50. And then later on, she found like a check from like an insurance, and like the total of it ended up being like 140 that she ended up missing. So I kind of like stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just supernatural stuff like that. Wow. That is so cool. Yeah. That's just God loving on you. That's God saying, "You're my baby doll." That's what I look at it. It's like, you know, I'm watching over you, and that's really awesome. Wow, cool, very, very cool.
You've definitely seen a lot of that in, like, protection, like, for my younger sister this year. Just she's had a couple of seizures, and it could have been, like, a lot worse than what it was. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. How old is she, Haley? She's like in her 20s now?
She's 19.
19. Okay, she's getting close to 20. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly. I can picture in my mind, you know. So. Right. We need to pray for her. And awesome. So what are you going to do? What do y'all do for Christmas? Y'all just do regular stuff or what? Anything special?
Well, my family's pretty small, so we'll probably just stay home and watch some movies.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I bet.
I love those Christmas movies. You know, they got so many different ones, and I love watching them. I can be a TV person when I'm in the mode for it. I learn from TV stuff. I watch videos. I watch historical stuff. I really enjoy historical things or documentaries, you know, especially if they're in the form of a movie.
I love that stuff. Mm-hmm. I have really gotten to where I really enjoy documentaries in the form of movies and stories, you know. Yeah. I love learning to see how things happen with other people in their life, you know. That's more like a documentary. That way you get to hopefully get the real truth, you know, what really went on.
Right. Have I missed the show? Scott, give me anything about the pyramids? Because I would like some answers for that.
Oh, the pyramids. I don't know very much about it. I know a little bit about it, but what about it? I mean, like what? Like how they build them?
Yeah, that, and there's like a new documentary lately, like talking about like how it looks like there's evidence that maybe the Egyptians just happened to move in and there was like a whole civilization that had like advanced technology to make a lot of the stuff that they did. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah. But, no, I don't have any revelation on any of that, no. But it is interesting, though, yeah. I mean, they built the Tower of Babel, girl. That was a huge thing. They were building that up to the sky. That was like, so they had to, I don't know. I don't know the connection between any of it, but it's, I think with enough people, like they said with the Tower of Babel, you got enough people together that are in one, they're in unison, they can do anything. Yes, even God said that. So that when God says they can do anything, and then he confused their tongues at Babel where they couldn't work together anymore, they were building a tower to God, and I don't know how high they got, but that's talking about the the pyramids and all that. I don't really know that much about them, but I've heard little things here and there. But I think that they just, when they had unity and they're thinking clear, you know, using their brains, I think people can accomplish a whole lot, and probably every like the Chinese people, they think different than the African people, and the Jewish people think different than the Romans, and so everybody has a little bit different intellect, and I don't understand how that works exactly, but sometimes some people's brains work in certain ways better than anybody's, you know, like building.
Mm-hmm.
You got a brain for it.
Yeah, very interesting. But I'm not going to dwell on it because it might drive me a little crazy. Not knowing.
I know. Yeah, me too. Yeah. So, yep, pretty interesting. There's a lot of stuff out there God to show us. And when people don't understand something, how something works, they try to figure it out, you know. I don't always listen to a lot of them because, you know, I consider their information, but their counsel, I don't receive their counsel, though I do listen to them, you know, to hear what they have to say. I don't think we should be afraid to listen to what they have to say. If you're biblically based and you're strong in the Lord, I think you can listen to just about any kind of information of how people did or do things and be good, you know, because you got your solid foundation. And so I like watching stuff that's kind of different and strange to see, you know, if there's something to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, girl, this has been awesome. Thanks for calling in. We will. I always enjoy when you call in, and I love watching what God's doing in your life. It's so beautiful to hear that about your family. That is awesome. I'm glad that you've been, you know, we've known you for, you know, for quite a while, it seems like. And always good to talk to you, always. You know.
Yes, sir.
You don't have
to have anything
particular to talk about. Yeah. You're so welcome. You're so welcome. All right, anything we can pray about? Anything else you want to say?
No. I've been listening to your the stuff that's been happening with you, and that's just, again, blows my mind. That's just the fact that, you know, I get to, like, witness this by, like, listening. It's just pretty exciting.
Oh, great.
Like,
do you use them by phone?
The heifers
or
and
Uh-huh. Yeah, the red heifers. Yeah.
I listen on my phone. Well,
okay.
I go back to the website and listen.
Okay, you're by computer by going through the right. Then you listen to the archives. Okay, cool. And then do you go on the live shows on the computer, or do you call in and listen by your phone? On the live show.
For the live show, I'll call in on the phone.
Okay. It's, people don't know it, but you can go to the site, blogtalkradio.com, and go to the category. I don't know what the category is. Anyway, it's on the live show. It has a thing for live shows. And if you know the show's coming on live, you can click on that and also listen with that live. So they have a thing just for live shows on the website, blogtalkradio.com, in case somebody's listening, you don't know that, and your phone's not working that great, you can just go on, you know, you can even do it on your phone. You can do it on your phone or a computer, either one. Yeah, so what do you think about what do you think about the red heifer thing and all that? What are you thinking about all that? Just kind of cool that it's going on, or what?
Yeah, I haven't studied Revelations like a whole lot. I've read it before, but not enough to like really know it and recognize what the next steps would be. So hearing that, it's kind of exciting to see it being prepared. But it was a little worrisome, but thanks to your words, like, I'm choosing not to fear like all of that. Before,
right,
I would have
right.
been kind of, you know, worry that, you know, the end times, but now I'm like, it's okay.
Sure, yeah, it's a new thing. It's something that taught over the years put a lot of fear on people. I get really, Haley, I don't get angry often, but I really get angry about that. I mean, sometimes I get on the show and I'm talking about those guys, I get really flustered with their stuff, man. I mean, if I could... Sometimes I'm just glad they won't be in the room with me, because I'm liable to just, like, you know, let them have it, you know, because the fear that they put on people about the end times. And, I mean, I'm talking about, I now see it, and I've had plenty of time to look at it, as demonic. These wonderful God-fearing people, and I mean they're God-fearing people, in this area of the end times, they absolutely have demons, I believe, that twist the word of God so much so that they put fear on people. In other areas, they're great. They got, you know, wonderful stuff, wonderful people, men of God, women of God. But man, the end time thing, for some reason, it has got so twisted that I just get, you know, I even say, well, I wish there would be a time where God could just take all them out and get them to heaven now and get them out of the way, you know, because they're such a pain in the neck with their fear that they put on people. Get them, rapture them out, get them out of here, you know, get rid of them, and let's just start over with some clean people. Kind of like what happened in the. I just thought about this. Haley, you're drawing this out of me right now. I thought about this right now. Wow. Oh, my gosh. About when they were in the wilderness with Moses, and they kept complaining and whining and, you know, and all that stuff, kind of like we do something, like I do sometimes. And, you know, they... to the point where God says, you know, God got angry with him. He said, I'm not going to let you guys go in, you bunch of whiners. You never trust me about anything. You complain about everything. I'm not going to let you guys, I'm going to raise up a whole new crew. In fact, he even told Moses, Haley, if you remember this, God told Moses, he said, hey, Moses, why don't we just, I'm going to kill all these people and we'll just start over with you. Haley, I started relating to God a little bit more on that. I'm going like, hey, that's a good idea. God, you just get them all. You don't have to kill them. Get them all out of here, and we can start over with a whole new generation and get rid of these fear-mongering, you know, creepy-crawling teachings that they got going on. So anyway, I'm going to get mad just talking about it, but that's kind of how I feel
about
it. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's actually, I love it. I love it. It's a love-hate thing, you know. It's a love-hate thing with me. But and what's so cool about it is that we're starting to see this thing going with the red heifer which means the next thing means that the temple is going to be built. The very next thing is going to be, you know, built is the temple, because they can't even start building on the property without cleansing it with the red heifer thing. According to Jewish law, they have to have that, number 19, and they have to have a perfect red heifer, which makes it impossible to have. That's why this thing is so huge, because it is. They've been trying to have one for 2,000 years. It's been 2,500 years since they had a red heifer. 2,500 years. And so this is just mind-boggling that not only did they come up with one through their great searching for a long time, but they found one in Texas, and it just so happened that it's not just in Texas, it's in right down the street from me, and I just happened to know the people that set it all up. I could not believe that. That blew my mind. So, you know,
no,
and it goes on and on and on. Yeah, it's just, it staggers the mind. It staggers my mind. And I've known that I'm going to be doing this stuff a long time ago. But, you know, when you start facing it and it starts happening to you, it's kind of not scary, but it is almost kind of scary in a way. You're going, oh, my goodness, you know. And a lot of it is the fear of it is because of what's been taught over the years. And we're going to try to help correct that, hopefully, a little bit.
Right.
So thank you for bringing that up. Thank you for saying mm-hmm. that we helped you a little bit, you know, in that area.
Yes, for sure. And then I've been waiting so long to hear you give the name of the Antichrist. So I finally heard that.
Finally.
Although it was a lot sooner than I expected it to be revealed. I mean, I don't know. I just figured
too.
It'd be a little bit more time later. But
well, me too, girl. That's exactly. See, that my big thing was. How long have you been? How long do you remember the years that I started talking about that? Do you remember it all? What if you could go back in your mind? You're a pretty smart person. I think if you could remember the year that I started talking about that, that would be cool. You don't have to do it. Think about it now, but.
Yeah.
If you think about it, you know, send me a text or something. Let me know. You remember, you know, a particular year, you know, if you do, you know, let me know. And, but yeah, that was a big thing. I was surprised too, because the big thing was I'm going like, God, how am I going to know what to tell everybody? You know, because people thought I was playing games with it. You know, like if I was a money raiser, they probably would accuse me of trying to raise money with it, but I'm not a money raiser and I'm not, you know, I don't sell things. So they couldn't accuse me of that. Right. But they were saying, oh, yeah, you just saying that to get attention. And going like, no, you don't even have a clue. I would love to tell everybody. I would love to, but I can't because God won't let me. And I wasn't even sure, Haley, when God was going to let me. You know, I'm like you. I thought it would be down the road a little bit. Is he going to be in the temple, you know, desecrating the temple before we say there he is? Or I, honest to God, didn't know. And then one day the queen died. Boom. September the 12th, 2022. Boom. Done. I'm going, thank you, Jesus. Now I'm telling the Jews. Hey, Haley, now I'm telling the Jews. Now I'm telling these people who he is. That's what's mind-boggling, is now I'm connected to these people who are building the temple, and I'm telling them who he is. I mean, you know, that's what I'm having a hard time believing. Like, I'm actually talking to these people who are in charge of building the temple, who the Antichrist is, or who the Jewish Messiah, the temporary Jewish Messiah will be. He's not really the Messiah, but he can say he's the Messiah. And I'm telling them his name right now. I've been doing it for the last week or so.
Wow.
Crazy.
I want to Google the name. And
do what?
And just to see a picture. I Googled the name, and just to see a picture just makes it super real and just incredible, just that it's Bible's playing out, just to witness that.
I know. It's what, yeah. Yeah. Well, Haley, here's the amazing thing, you know, and I've talked about this many times, so I repeat myself a lot because I'm so amazed. I finally, as you said, when are you going to give the name of the Antichrist, right? I've been in this for years. When are you going to give the name? I gave hints. I said his hair is red. His, you know, I give his age, you know, and the prominent Jewish family, you know, the year he's born, you know, like, so people know his age. And, you know, you can't make that stuff up, you know. And then, sure enough, when I told them, they go, yeah, Randy, that's exactly, you hinted to us exactly correct. His hair is red, his age, Jewish prominent Jewish family, and some other things, too. And so finally, on September the 12th, after the queen dies, we're given his name. I can't even believe God's letting me do it. I didn't even have a clue, Haley, that the red heifer was going to show up. The red heifer, the Antichrist, we give the name of the Antichrist, right? For 12 years or so. 3 days later, the red heifer shows up. I'm thinking somebody's playing a game with me. You know, that's what I thought. I thought, oh, they're playing a game. That shows you what great faith I got. Somebody's playing a game. This bunch of, you know, computer freaks out there doing all this stuff, trying to lie. And they got the red heifer, like, right. You know, so I said, we got to check this thing out. We'll kind of find out, as everybody knows, you know, 3 days later it showed up. Sure enough, it was inspected by the Temple Institute, you know, which is they're the ones that approve. And this guy that I'm talked about tonight, Byron, he's right in the middle of all this stuff. You know, he's helping them put it all together and on and on and on. And I'm going like, oh, my God, you know, so this is real. And then the red heifer showing up at that time, Haley, was the biggest thing in the whole world that you could have come up with, because that Antichrist can't even go into the temple without a temple, and they can't have a temple without the red heifer. They can have everything, all the stones, they can have everything. But if they don't have that red heifer, they can't do anything. Therefore, how long is that going to go on? When is that going to happen? Well, kaboomba, I give the name of Antichrist, didn't have a clue that the red heifer was being, you know, looked at, didn't have a clue, much less it being right down the road from me, from a person I haven't seen since probably 2012, 2013. He called on the show one night. Brian called on the show one night, 2014. Him and his wife called on the show January 2014. But I haven't talked to him since then. You know, it's been that long. And didn't have a clue that he's the one who set it up for them to get it set up, girl. That was way too much for me. I was like, I can't handle this. Wow.
I would have needed to have a long break after that. Wow.
Hey, and what's crazy is it's gotten worse. Not worse, but, you know, now I'm finding out that the dream I had about the two witnesses, that I was in some house in Bethlehem because they were there to see where the king was born, and that was Bethlehem. They found out that my friend, my new friend, Byron, has a house in that overlooks the fields of Bethlehem, you know, and he sent me pictures today, just today. I said, please send me pictures of that area and that house, if you don't mind. I wasn't sure he was going to be able to send them to me, so I got them right before the show tonight. I'm going like, oh, my gosh. And I asked him, that road out in front of the house, that apartment that he's talking about, was paved. I said, how long has that thing been paved? Because I think the one I saw in the dream, I don't know, I wasn't looking at the road, but it looked like it seemed like it was dirt, because there was dirt flying, you know. And he said, well, they started paving it in 2008, I'm going, well, that's about the time I had the dreams. You know, God started speaking to me in 2006, 2007, 2008 about all that stuff, you know. And I went, man, that kind of fits. Nothing that has to fit, but, you know, so that was even at a higher level of freaking me out. That the dream I had, which I thought was a type and shadow dream, right? I didn't think it was real, you know, as far as me actually being in a house there. And now I'm kind of find out that my new connection has a house there overlooking Bethlehem. Right there, Haley, right there. I mean, that was shocking.
Wow.
I'm having trouble getting over that one, too, honestly.
I wonder what's next.
Don't say that, please. No. Yes. It's kind of like, yes, no, don't say that. Yeah, go ahead and say it. Because that's what we want, right? We want, I know that's what I'm thinking. You know, that's what I'm thinking. What's next? I don't know. I have a clue. You know, I don't have a clue. What's next? it all happened so spontaneously, like to find out he had that house. The reason I found out he had the house, because I just happened, I think, I'm going to go, I don't really know Byron, right? My friend, my good friend I've had for a long time, turned me on to him and said he's the one, you know, put together the temple and stuff for the Jews. I went, okay, well, I'm going to check him out. So I got on his site, and on his site it said they had a house, you know, that overlooked, in southern Jerusalem, that overlooked, you know, the fields of Bethlehem. That's exactly the way it said it, the fields of Bethlehem. I'm going like, no way. No way. And this was Sunday morning. I text him right away. I said, Byron, you have a house? Or it's actually an apartment. There in that. I said, no way, man. And then I told him my dream about the two witnesses. And the two witnesses were coming to a house or some that place where Jesus was born. Because they said, we'll come to see where the king was born, right? I said, dude, that has to do something with that. And I text that to him, right? And then, as I've already shared this already, but the Lord says, call him. You know, I said, well, he's not going to answer the phone. He's busy. He already told me he's busy. I'm texting, you know. So he said, no, the Lord says, call him right now. I said, okay. He's not going to answer the phone. I'm telling the Lord this. He ain't going to answer the phone. I'll leave my phone. So I text him. I said, hey, dude. I don't call him dude, but hey, Byron, you know, I'm going to call you and leave you a voicemail. I wanted to warn him so he wouldn't pick up the phone, right? He wouldn't feel like he had to pick it up. Just let me leave you a voicemail. Because it's so much easier to talk this stuff than it is to write it. So I called him up, and sure enough, he answers the phone. He was so excited that he said, Randy, the two witness thing is blowing my mind. Basically, he didn't use those exact words. I talked like that. He just said, wow, it's shocking, you know, that, you know, you send me that information, and that I had a, you know, God show me when I was 13 years old that I'm going to be helping the two witnesses. And here you are telling me that house that I have in Bethlehem, the apartment, may be connected to that, and the two witnesses are coming to me. He said, that just, like, was shocking, you know. I'm going, like, yeah, I'm shocked too, you know. And he says, Randy, not only that, but tonight, this is Sunday night at 7 o'clock, he says, I'm doing a TV show talking about that very place tonight. I said, no way. He said, yeah. And then he did. I watched it. I listened to it. Yeah. And just sitting there like in shock going, you know, this is blowing my mind. So I know I talk about this stuff a lot because, y'all, it's just like, this is end time. This is biblical end time stuff going on. And we're right in the middle of it. I mean, right in the middle, big time. Mm-hmm. We're in the middle of it a lot more than people know. I can't even tell people what I know and where it's going. I just didn't know the timing. You know, that's what I didn't know. I didn't know the timing. That's the only thing I didn't know. I know where I'm going to be. I know what's going to happen. Everything. And that's why when this house opened up, I'm going, there's the house. I don't know if it, you know, could be next door to that house or if it's that particular house. But the fact that all this happened just Sunday, which is today's Tuesday, that was about 2-3 days ago, that just happened. And now I'm, you know, thinking, oh, my gosh, maybe that's the place I may be in that area, in that house maybe. Yeah, I really don't know. God hadn't told me exactly, but I'm going like, man, the time has come, and I can hardly handle it. Too much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so glad to be kind of like, found your show and just it's like listening to top secret information because like just the fact that you know not a lot of people you know is aware of what's happening.
I know.
Glad to be able to listen and see it play out.
Right, and it's not some secret thing going on in the corner. I mean, this is done like one of the Jewish shows that talks about all this stuff and even mentioned the name of the guy down the street from me, right? Ty Davenport with my friend Brian Davenport. That's his brother, right? That's all mentioned on the Jewish Roots show that's on Daystar Network, you know, on television, on internet, on worldwide television. They've had shows on there since back way a long time ago. On TVN and on Daystar. So these are not flaky people. These people, and they actually are the ones where I found out that it was T-
Ty Davenport, and I thought, Ty Davenport, that name sounds familiar. And right down the street in Rockwall, that's where my friend Brian Davenport lives. I wonder if they're kin to each other. So I got on the site of the ranch, the Ty Davenport ranch, and it had the number of the foreman. I clicked the number on my, you know, yeah, you click the number. I said, hey, he said, this is Ty. I said, hi. I mean, this is Jim Salazar. So, hi, Jim. Tim Salazar. I said, hey, Tim, what's going on? He said, I said, you guys doing the red heifer thing? He said, yeah, that's us. I said, oh, my gosh. Ty Davenport, he came to Brian Davenport by any chance? He said, yeah, that's his brother. I said, you got to be kidding me. Girl, I could not believe it. It was just, you know, unbelievable. So I drove over there, you know, the next day or so, and, you know, and then I called Brian. I said, Brian, you know, I haven't talked to you in years, but I'm leaving. He picked up the phone. He said, hey, Randy. I said, hey, what are you doing? He said, I'm over here looking at the heifers, man. And we were just, you know, he lived right close to Ty, you know, where the heifers, because they're brothers. They live in the same, have the same area code, I mean, zip code. And I said, you know, I've been to this house once many years ago, but it's been a while. And I said, he said, come on over. Bring your friends and come on over. I went, okay, we're coming. So he started telling me all these stories about how the Jewish rabbis showed up and how the FBI was there with them and the CIA, and they were now protecting him. He said, they're protecting me now. I'm going like, really? He said, yeah, we all went out to the restaurant, to a kosher restaurant, took the Jewish rabbis out there. That these are high-level rabbis. That's why they had the FBI out there, because these are high-level rabbis, right? And so he says, yeah, we went to, you know, a place where they could eat, you know, and in Dallas. And I said, wow, what was that like? He said, well, when we left, the CIA would follow me. And he says, a woman CIA agent, they turned around and said, yeah, can I help you? They said, well, yes, sir, we're trying to make sure you make it out to your car, okay? He said, Randy, they were protecting me now. I go like, dude, that is awesome. So it was just, you know, the whole thing. And there's a lot more stories. I could go on and on about the stories that they've been telling me and stuff that's been happening to me. It's just, all right, I got to get off of this. I'm just so excited. It's just hard to not talk about it. Big time.
Great. What an experience.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Yeah, it is. I just feel honored, and I just hope I can, you know, I hope I can maintain my sanity, you know. Like, this is, you know, I keep my helmet of salvation on now all the time so I don't blow my brains out with all this stuff going on. It's crazy. You know, when my brains won't explode, you know. I kidded with one of them. I said, yeah, I've been putting on my helmet of salvation all the time lately because all this stuff is blowing my mind so much. I don't want my brains to fall out, you know.
Good. Well, you made it this far. So.
Well, as far as you can tell, yeah. Yeah. I'm made for it. I'll be fine. But, you know, it's just because I'm made for this stuff. I've known this stuff for years. I just didn't know the timing. You know, that's the only thing. I didn't know the timing. Now all of a sudden it's upon us, and I'm going like, you know, I'm even saying, you know, giving words like, you know, not long ago, no more delays. God said it's time, you know. And I'm just prophesying, right? I don't know. I'm like going, what? I hear this stuff myself. Haley, I'm going like, what did you just say in my own mouth? No more delays. And then pretty soon before I know it, and then I gave a word about a month or two ago that PGN is going to, like, in one day be raised up, and that's before all this stuff happened. You know, 2 months ago, that's before all this stuff unfolded. And sure enough, like, it's almost like in one day, everything is like, boom, 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 no more delays, boom, 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 boom. And I'm going like, God, thanks for the warning, but man, wow. It's so exciting, I can hardly stand myself. I'm so excited all the time, I'm like a little kid. It's awesome.
Yeah, wow. That is awesome. I'll be listening and seeing what
else is
going to happen.
Yes. Yes, when you ask the big question, what's next, that's what I'm asking all the time. Like, how much more can happen without it happening, you know? How much more can happen without it happening? I don't know, but I got a feeling it's going to be exciting. So we'll try to keep it. We'll try to keep it on the show, you know, fresh as I get it. I'll be putting it on here. So
if God gives it to me. So thank you for listening. All right. Anything particular we can pray about before I move on?
I guess for my sister. She's doing better, but still she struggles from time to time. But, yeah, that's probably it.
All right. Thank you. She has seizures, and so she's having problems with that off and on.
Yeah, it has been a while since she's had one, but she has a doctor appointment next month. And hopefully it's good news.
Oh. Yes, maybe she's just grown out of it and, you know, whatever. God, delivering her from that thing, that'd be awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, Haley, thanks for checking in. It was great talking to you.
Yes, sir, you too. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to mute you. Yeah, thank you, okay. I'm going to mute you, and then we're going to pray for your sister. We thank you, Lord, for, I forgot to ask her name, but her sister. Thank you, Lord, for Haley's sister, God. We thank you, Lord, for comforting her, God, and showing her that, God, she's going to just, it's going to seem like she just grew out of it. You know, so like just, something's going to happen, and it's going to be like all the good in her is going to overcome and conquer that in Jesus' name, and her DNA will kick in, and her DNA will conquer, and Jesus will help her conquer it, and God will bless her. And we just thank you, Lord, for opening her up, and no matter what or say or don't say, we thank you, Lord, for what you say, that you're calling her to be free in Jesus' name, calling her to live, be healthy and be whole. God, and have a beautiful life, raise a beautiful family, a bunch of beautiful little baby dolls that Jesus can just adore and love, and they can come to him and, you know, worship him someday. We just thank for her future in Jesus' name, has positive hope in it. We declare and decree it over her, and the devil's a liar and God is true. In Jesus' name, amen. And bless Haley. God, let her come to that wisdom that you're giving her, God. Let her learn that wisdom you're trying to show her, where she can share that wisdom with others, and they can see that truly God is helping her and blessing her in Jesus' name. Amen. It could be a great testimony. Amen. All right, Haley. Bye-bye. Thank you so much. All right, 870-415. Can you talk to her from, please?
Oh, hello, Pastor Randy. I didn't even have it muted.
I'm sorry?
Shavonda from Arkansas. Can you hear me? Oh, Shavonda.
Yes, I can.
With the V.
Oh, Shavonda. Okay, that's what I thought you said. Okay, great. All right, Shavonda, let's pray for you from Arkansas. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to mute you just for a second. Let's pray for Shavonda. Lord, I thank you for Shavonda tonight, God. I thank you for the power to succeed. With you, God, to show her what success with you means. Success with you means, you know, learn to obey you every day, learn to walk with you, learn to love you, learn to love obeying you. It's not something we have to do, something that we want to do, something we know that, like Jesus, you know, he knew that if he did anything other than what the Father had him do, it would be not successful, even though he could have been a very smart, you know, creative genius in business or whatever he wanted to do. He could have been great at it. Because he was a sinless son of God. He had 100% use of his brain. He had no sin. And God, I thank you that even he realized that without the Father, he can't do nothing. And that true success is really obeying the Father. That's why Jesus was such a success. It's because he learned how to, you know, be poor in and of himself and obey the Father in whatever he had him do, God. And that's what true success is obeying the Father in whatever he has us to do. Thank you, Lord, that Shavonda, God, sees that. She has that before her, and she looks to that. She trusts you and believes you to speak to her, to give her information, creativity, and to open up her mind to the new ways of doing things, new ways. God says, behold, I put before you a new way, a new thing. And with a new thing, you think new. You don't think old. You think new. Amen. Even about old things. You can think old things, but you think new about them. Like the old law was, Paul the Apostle was very familiar with the old law. And now when Jesus came and fulfilled it, he thought about the old law, but he had the new wine with it. He had a new understanding with it. He took the old law and brought new understanding to it. So, yeah, amen. All right. All right, Shavonda, what are you doing over there? How are you?
Amen. I'm actually sitting in the hospital.
How come?
So,
Well, my birthday was yesterday, and I had a consultation with another hospital through my hospital. I asked them had I been contracting the week before because I'm pregnant, and actually I have got pregnant for a couple of times, and to me, this pregnancy has been successful. It's just with me having, you know, some losses in the past, and I never got an answer. It's kind of confusing, but, you know, you speak up for yourself and tell people what's going on with your body, but they ignore it, and then there's complications. Well, with this one, I wouldn't allow people to just do things. So I'm not, you know, every time there was a talk about premature delivery or whatever, I'm just sitting here. I got transferred to another, you know, hospital, and we're just waiting to see what baby wants to do. He is kind of, you know, there's not much room for him, but waiting for him to grow some more. He got steroid shots. Right. So, yeah. Which
how far along are you?
About 34 weeks.
Okay, so remind me how many weeks that we go. How many weeks do we go to have a baby? How many weeks?
Some people, 40, 37, it can be considered, you know, full-term, depending on the weight of the baby, what's going on, if they stop growing. So I finally, this is the first time I ever got some type of anything of, oh, it could be IUGR, which is where there's a restriction of growth in there, in the womb.
Okay.
But I don't even claim that. I'm just going I'm just going through the process, and we just waiting on baby and waiting on doctors to tell me something. So most people can go up to 40 or 42, 43, depending on what it is, what they need.
So you're 34.
Yes, sir.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've done any of that stuff. I'm kind of like not in line with the information. Right. Well, so you're doing a lot of waiting. I know that's part of being pregnant is you wait while you grow. You wait and you grow and you wait and you grow until hopefully it grows for the fruit doesn't fall from the womb until it's time. But, yeah. Wow. Okay, cool.
Yes,
I think you told me one night that you texted me and said, are you the one that Jeannie prophesied over or prayed for and had a really cool information? Was that you?
Yes. Yes, sir. That night I had a job contract, job offer, and pretty much I'm in a private care situation where one family is paying me until I go hear from one contract I've signed. I'm just waiting on the answer, and then there was another job offer. I had signed that contract and they wanted to hire me, but then all of a sudden, they just dropped the ball. So I just didn't worry about it.
Uh-oh.
And I haven't worried with when I was previous working. When I felt good enough to do it, I would do it. Anything I needed to do as far as, I'm just waiting, but there has been conversations. And she was saying something about faithfulness, and that was part of the name of the company. Friendship.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I never heard back on all that, but I sent her your testimony. I said, Jeannie, you know, you gave her a word, something about friendship or something. She said, oh, yeah, okay. And she wasn't sure either. So I wanted to check on that. That is so awesome. Praise God. Well, so what do we need to pray for? We need to pray for the baby to mature and grow as much as it can.
Well,
right
now, we can pray for that. But right now we're just, I'm just waiting. I'm being patient. Just like you said, you just prayed and what you said about power to, you know, have a mindset of just overpowering and going through things, not letting things cause you to go backwards. Just so I don't know how long I could be here. I don't know if they're going to make me wait the whole time, if I'm going to go home to delivery. But, I mean, you know, he could stay in there and grow and nothing's happening.
Right.
Just let it be.
Right.
I'm not really
grown,
I'm patient with yeah.
Yeah. Growing in the womb is the best way for them to grow. Of course, they can grow outside the womb, but it's a lot of work. And
right.
That mama's womb is the best place to grow, like, you know, like we all know. But yeah. All right. We're just gonna pray about that. Yeah, and what else were you saying there? Sorry, I missed some of that.
Oh, I was just gonna say I'm not even. It's like I have such a calmness. Like I'm not even worried about. Like with my husband, he came to see me today, but he went back home. We have help with our kids. Actually, Carmen prayed over that too. We do have help with our kids.
Okay.
It can be
great.
Stressful because you have so much to do, but I'm just so calm. I'm patient with whatever comes about. If I don't go home, if I have to wait, just whatever it is, clarity. Just we need clarity.
Right. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. All right. Well, we're so glad to hear from you, and I'm so glad you called PG and you talked to Carmen, you said, and to, you know, Jeannie and whoever else. That's so awesome. Know that our friends have been praying for you and believing with you and ministering to you. We're so thankful for them. All right. I'm going to mute you. Sure. Anything else you want to say before I move on? I'm going to pray for you and then we'll move on after that.
No, sir. Just however God leads you. And it's a blessing. I haven't spoken to you in a while. And I thank God for you and everything you do for everyone.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Shavonda. We love you, and thank you for – you're going to have yourself a Christmas baby, it looks like, either way, or something close to that.
Yeah.
So Merry Christmas to you, for sure. So
we'll see
how that goes. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll be praying that that maybe moves on. But, all right, I'm going to mute you. Thank you very much, Shavonda, for calling and taking the time to call in tonight. Thank you, Lord. Just cover her, God, or Jesus. Let her know that you're with her. Like you are, obviously, she already realizes that because she's having that peace. She's not stressed, not worried about it. God, I thank you that you that she abide in that place of your love, that she knows that she's loved by you. That like we talk about other people, that she is your baby doll, that you're watching over her, God. You care for her. You're watching and you're blessing her, God, and her faith is strong. Her faith is strong in you, Jesus. She has the faith of God inside of her that's coming alive. In Jesus' name, for this baby to produce the way it needs to produce and function and grow until this growth time is time for that fruit to fall from the womb, fall from the tree. It will be delivered in the right time where it won't fall prematurely. We thank you, Jesus, for blessing her, God, and her faith, Father, and her family, and all the things going on with her husband. And we just bless you, Jesus, that in all the stuff of having a baby is a big thing, that you give them that calm and that peace and that provision, Jesus, and show them how to, you know, take care of business and be blessed with the business realm in Jesus' name, and get that blessing going on with the business realm and the finances. In the name of Jesus, I loosen the prosperity of God upon her, God, that she will prosper in her knowledge of you, her love in you, God, her money, her finances, God, that she will prosper and be in health. Even as her soul prospers, God, I thank you, Lord, for her love for you, Jesus. I thank you for her obedience to you, God. I thank you, Lord, that she puts you first in her life, God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. And let that first place, give her first place with you, Jesus. Amen. That you're watching over her, God, in Jesus' name, and making sure everything matures and grows. Until it's time for that delivery, it will be done in Jesus' name. Let it be done right now. Amen. Amen. All right, y'all. Well, it's 12-something. Nobody else has their hand up tonight. I guess I'm going to call it a night. Thank you for listening. Thanks for taking time to hear what's going on at PGN and what's happening really around the globe, where we are connected in the most unusual ways. It's so unbelievable sometimes. Some of the stuff that's going on, it's just off the charts. And, you know, the cool thing I like about it is not being done in a corner. It's just being done out into the open. It's broadcast and being broadcast out there. so everybody knows it's actually going on, like with me, is this really going on? Can this really be the real red heifer? And, oh, my goodness, the timing and all the stuff. It's just a mind-boggling situation that shows you that God is watching over us and our time is at hand to be blessed. Amen. And to be blessed. And to be blessed, blessed, blessed. With the presence of Jesus, with the glory of God, with no fear, with faith in God. In Jesus' name, he's going to provide and take care of things. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, y'all. I guess nobody's getting their hand up there, so I'm going to call it a night tonight. Thank you for being with us. It's about 12:20 my time. So thank you for your love for what we do. And if somebody wants to talk, everybody may be asleep. Who knows? We're going to call it a night. All right, y'all. See you tomorrow night. And we will be talking about the spirit of Herod tomorrow in this season of our Christmas season. It's amazing that all this has happened at Christmas time with all the Bible stories that are actually so real to me right now that I'm shaking. shaking my heart is shaking with intensity and excitement, literally. What's like was said earlier, you know, you know, Haley was saying, what's next? I don't know. We're going to find out. And it's going to be awesome to watch. Hopefully we can keep everybody. So much happens every day that I'm just trying to give you the overall, and then we'll try to break it down and keep you up on what's really going on so you can know what's happening. All right, we love you guys. Thank you so much. Thanks for your love and support for PGN. Amen. In Jesus' name, we love you. God bless. Bye-bye.